This is Rover's Morning Glory. Rover.
Oh, get on that ugly broad.
Doogie.
I had breast reduction.
Peter.
That's all we get is bad chicks, bro.
Charlie.
It's a poop orgy at your house.
And Jeffrey. Streaming on RoverRadio.com. Rover's Morning Glory starts now.
What's happening? It is Thursday, November 9th, 2017. Good morning. It's Rover's Morning Glory. I'm Rover. Doogie is here.
Good morning, sir.
Dieter is here.
Yo!
And you're with us as well. 866-YO-ROVER. 866-967-6837. You can also text the show at that number. That comes into the studio in real time. You can tweet us. Just put at Rover Radio in your tweet. Also comes into the studio in real time. But best way is to pick up the phone. Give us a call. 866-YO-ROVER. We'll get to your email here in just a moment. We have the Thursday hookup. Single woman coming into the studio who wants to go out on a date with you. You'll be able to call in and talk to her. We have Chris Matthews from MSNBC on the show later this morning as well. And a lot to talk about. Doogie has, I don't know what this Christmas-themed...
Christmas time, baby.
I thought it was a sweater, but it's not a sweater. It's a
shirt.
It's a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah. I'm ready for Christmas. Shut up.
I'm just saying, I mean, that's...
Earlier every year.
Yeah, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. She's wearing Christmas clothes. And on top of that, it's just, I mean, I don't know.
It's a little early.
No, it's not.
It's just after Thanksgiving they start.
No. Yeah,
it's a little early. And would you ever wear that shirt?
Well, I wouldn't.
Well,
Christmas morning as you're opening gifts and the comfort of your own house while you're wearing pajamas. Yeah, you wear that shirt.
Yeah.
Not in public.
I agree with you.
Let's flip some formats and listen to some Christmas music.
I just read an article. Or I didn't read the article. The headline was that listening to Christmas music may make you mentally ill.
Yes, I saw that. I have it.
Is that in the news? Yeah,
yes.
They're coming up in the news. Okay,
news, yep.
I didn't read the story, but
neither did I. But I'll have it read by the next.
No, you won't have it read. You'll have it. You'll read it and stumble through.
I'm ready. I'm putting my tree up this weekend. I'm excited. What is this song?
Christmas Shoes.
What is that?
Christmas? You've never heard this before?
Never heard
no.
Christmas?
Oh, it's
quite a story. No.
It's quite a story. You guys have never heard this song.
The most depressing song that's ever been written?
No.
That's why I haven't heard it.
They'll play it. It'll get sprinkled into the mix of the Christmas things. It's a real Jesus-oriented kind of Christmas song about a kid's going to go purchase some shoes for his mother, but he's poor. He can't afford them.
Okay.
And he's getting his mom these shoes because she's going to meet Jesus tonight.
Because she's dying.
She's dying.
Oh, my gosh.
In the middle of Holly Jolly Christmas and everything, this one comes on.
Oh, that's awful.
I think they made a Lifetime movie about it.
Oh,
here's the chorus.
Off.
Listen to the chorus.
For my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
Nothing rhymes either.
Could you hurry?
Just need to get the message out.
Daddy says there's not much time. You see, she's been sick for quite a while. And I know these shoes will make her smile. And I want her to look beautiful if Mama meets Jesus tonight.
There you go. It's
you actually crying over a made up story.
Crying?
It's a made
She's
up
crying.
Story. You just heard about some stupid shoes for 20 seconds and you're crying.
Why cry over a grandma got ran over by a reindeer every year?
That's a good
one.
Song.
Very sad song.
Thanks for ruining my Christmas fun.
I'm going to do that every time you wear that shirt.
No.
Yeah.
I have a cat sweater, and he's got a hat on with the little bell that jingles. I want to wear that one. God, that's a terrible song.
She's crying at 6:38.
I'm also surprised you haven't heard this before.
And I can't move my forehead. I got Botox, and it won't move. It won't move. Oh, God.
You got to watch the movie, Doogie.
No. Ooh.
Rob Lowe's in it.
No. Ooh, that's bad. Come on, don't. Yeah. Play Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
No.
I can't feel my face. I need to clean it.
John, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, John.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, man.
Hey, everybody's mics sound like there's too much bass. It's overmodulated or something. Everybody's mics sound weird today.
Everyone's mics sound weird. Where are you listening? Are you listening on the radio? Or are you listening?
I'm on the radio. On the radio.
Charlie, will you monitor us on the radio? I'll listen. I'll see.
I don't know if we have a radio in the radio station.
I don't think we do.
Like, I'm trying to think of where I'd go to listen to the radio other than my car.
The on air feed is a radio. I think I don't know.
The overheads too.
Is it?
I don't think that's the
radio.
I don't think that counts as radio. That's like right off the board.
Oh.
I can go to my car.
There's got to be a radio, and we're a radio station. There's got to be a radio in the building somewhere.
I could spend 5 minutes looking for a radio, or I could just go to the car real quick.
Or just see if one more person calls. Is there anyone that's calling or any text?
It might just be guy's radio.
Blowing his speakers out. All right, your fault. All
right. Or he's got ears filled with wax. I don't know.
All right, let's see here. Jason writes, in sixth grade, I was being bullied daily by a much larger seventh grader. I knew I didn't stand a chance fighting back. I found an even bigger eighth grade bully and followed him home one day to see his route. I took note that he passed by a playground park area. A few days later, I called out my bully and stood up to him. I told him I would meet him in the park to fight after school. I then told the eighth grade bully that my bully said he was going to beat his ass after school, that he planned to wait for him at the park. In the end, the eighth grade bully saw the seventh grade bully standing at the park waiting for me, ran full speed, kicked him in the chest, knocking him to the ground, and punched him in the face repeatedly. Before he could even realize what happened, the fight was over, and my bully laid there bleeding. He assumed the eighth grader and I were friends and never said a word to me again. That's a pretty ingenious thing, if that's true.
Yeah, it is.
Sounds like a yarn, though. James writes, Rover, I was wondering if there is a place where people could store their merchandise at Holy Moses Matrimony so they don't have to carry it around all night. Put it on.
A lot of people were wrapping around their waist in past.
Or take your chance and wait till the end of the night and hope that your size isn't gone.
They will have a coat check. I was just there yesterday, so I think they're going to have the coat check open too. I don't know if you want to check it.
Are you sick or something? Or is
no, I just had a meltdown.
Well, is it that time of the month or something?
No. Actually, I feel pretty good. I get really weird when I think about that kind of stuff. Mom's dying.
She's obsessed with dying. She brings that up. She brought that up to Sass Keith like 2 weeks ago. Sass Keith was down here. And
Doogie
just starts talking about dying to him. I'm obsessed with dying. I think about it every day.
Something about health.
And Keith, who's like 1,000 years old, is like, I'm on death's door. I don't even think about
it. Yeah, look at him.
I don't even think about dying. Doogie made a comment at the beginning of yesterday's show, which said, quote, I am barely hanging on. I'd like to hear why her life is so awful. She's got the little girl she always wanted, an amazing job that pays her more than the average American. She owns her house, has good friends, a sugar daddy that she doesn't even have to sleep with to get money from, her health and the health of her child, a new car, Disney vacations.
Can't wait.
I'm confused. What's so bad in Doogie's life? You're as bad as Jeffrey. All you do is complain.
Who
complained? Complain.
I didn't complain about it. I am overwhelmed with stuff right now. I'm not saying, oh, woe is me. My life sucks. I'm going to go jump off the Valley View Bridge. Just there's a lot. People think that we come in talk on the radio, laugh it up, and then you leave. And that's not what we do. So there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes.
We had some clients here yesterday, Rover.
Yeah.
Like some big players in the soft drink industry and all.
Okay.
So it's Coke or Pepsi. Got it.
Well, maybe.
Pepsi?
I'm not saying who. Oh, Doogie was on. You know Doogie. She's like, oh, I got to make sure I'm on with these guys. So all I hear is usually she drops something. She's like, oh, I suck ass. I'm sorry.
I did not.
Yes. Swear, I wrote it down. So she says that.
Yeah.
Did
she's
not.
Like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so crude in front of you guys. And the guys are like, nah, it's fine.
I did not
it's
say
okay.
That.
So once Doogie saw she can get away with that, she's like, have you been outside? They're like, yeah. She's like, oh, it's cold as balls outside,
I did not
right?
Say
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Doogie. I wrote two of those comments down.
You were editing stuff at the
still,
same time. Oh my God. You can't do two things
I suck
at
ass,
once. I did
cold
not
as balls.
She's extremely inappropriate.
No.
Yeah, we first meet a client.
I was not like that.
They're doing a tour of the radio station and she drops those two lines. I go, oh,
I did
wow.
Not. I did not say that.
She, I don't know if she gets nervous or what she does, but she
did not do that.
She's, and I drop a lot of. You know, I curse a lot, but...
But the first time you meet somebody, you don't know what they're like.
No, I went out to dinner one time with Doogie, and I don't even remember who it was. Some old guy, and she starts asking about his sex life. Do you still have sex?
I
do
did
you
not.
Still...
Okay. She I don't think she knows she does
I,
it.
Oh, my God. You guys are trying to make me look like the bad guy.
No. I just wrote it down.
You are the bad
no.
guy.
No. Oh,
it's cold as balls out.
You're cold as balls.
They're like,
shut
what?
That doesn't even make sense. Cold as balls.
All right.
Balls aren't cold.
When they shrivel, they are.
But that's No. You're mixing. Right? You're mixing up cause and effect.
You with me?
No, I'm not.
You got you feeling me right now?
No. If it was shriveled, if it was shriveled like balls, but balls inherently are hot, right?
That's why they're outside the body.
It's hot as balls. That's an acceptable phrase, right?
Yeah. It's yeah. She used anything as balls now. Anything.
I would never say hot as balls anymore just after knowing Doogie.
Just said it.
Instead.
Yeah.
Greg, I don't know if the guy's name is Grev. Maybe that's Greg. I don't know what the hell that is. Writes, yo, Rover. I saw this story about four friends who drove to Rochester to buy heroin. On their way home, after scoring the drugs, one of the four snorted some and passed out. His friends thought he was sleeping, but they later noticed he wasn't breathing and had passed away. Now the other three have been charged in their friend's death. Please give me your thoughts on if that is fair. No, I don't think that's fair. I don't think charging the people who... if the kid was willingly doing drugs, that's his fault. It's the way that I look at it.
I disagree.
And I just don't agree with putting three other heroin addicts in jail because one of them happened to die. I see the other side of the argument, I suppose, but. I just think if someone is willingly doing something to their own body, they're doing heroin. They're the ones that are at fault.
And everybody knows that does heroin knows you can overdose and die.
Right.
You don't think that they should be charged at all? Like nothing? That
maybe with heroin possession.
Oh, no.
But charging, what they charged? Let me see what they charged. Let's see what they charged him with. He attached the article.
One count of
negligent homicide.
Good.
Yep. No, that's ridiculous.
And they took him to the hospital.
Well,
oh,
you know what this means is that in the future, when one in the group overdoses, they sure as hell aren't taking him to the hospital because I'm going to be charged. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're gonna leave him somewhere and they're going to go, oh, I didn't know. I didn't see that. I had no idea the guy did heroin.
Don't do heroin.
Yeah, but exactly. So don't do heroin yourself.
Yeah, well, these guys are now going to sober up because they'll be in jail.
Well, I don't know whether these guys were on heroin or not. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe they were. Who knows? But charged with negligent homicide, that's just an overstep. It's a reach. negligent homicide. Fine. Keep doing that. No one will take anyone to the hospital. You'll have more people dying from heroin overdoses. Who would take someone to the hospital if you thought, uh-oh, my friend's overdosing. I could be charged with negligent homicide. I don't know what kind of penalty that carries. It's a felony. It sounds like that's 10 to, you know, 10 years or something.
At least.
No one's going to call 911. No one's going to take their friend to the hospital. They're going to get the hell out of there and go, I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. John writes, I'm emailing about the outburst by Tomas Sharon. Although Jeffrey's disadvantages in life have been brought up, one has been left out. If he had taken Tomas out to the car, Mary Elizabeth might have made a bigger scene herself. She isn't really a help for Jeffrey. I don't know if he could make a bigger scene than what he made in that store.
Swinging a bat for a half hour?
Yeah.
Anything's better than staying in that store.
I also thought, he continues, of a bit for the show. How does Jeffrey stack up against the other fathers of the show? Anthony, his dad abandoned him, and his stepdad abandoned him. How is Anthony as a father? Our video guy. Charlie, his dad has as many DUIs as Nads, including some with children in the car. He got in a fight over a quarter. He smoked pot with his kids' friends.
Got in a fight over a quarter?
Yeah, at a bar.
It was over a jukebox.
Oh, yeah.
Quarter. So how does Jeffrey stack up against those fathers? Anthony's father, his dad who abandoned him, his stepdad who abandoned him. Is Jeffrey a worse father or a better father than those two?
At least he's there.
Yeah, that's pretty bad to walk
out. No. We're not talking about Anthony. We're talking about...
No, at least Jeffrey's there.
Oh.
So abandoning a child, I couldn't even imagine that. That's a horrible person.
I mean, he might be there physically, but that's...
He's there.
That's about it.
So he's better than Anthony's dad.
He's taking his wife to go get a winter coat.
Yes.
Yeah, he's doing things sometimes.
It's a mental abandonment. What about Charlie's dad? Is Jeffrey better than, the same, or worse than Charlie's dad?
Did your dad love you?
Yeah, he provided everything. I mean,
I think Charlie.
Bad influence your dad was, though, but.
I don't think that's true.
He had, how many DUIs did he have?
Well, too many to count. I don't know.
So that's a good influence?
But Charlie hasn't had any.
Yeah, it was. Almost he taught me what not to do in life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I think.
And he was always around. I mean, he did work a lot. Like, he wouldn't come home until 10, 11, midnight sometimes. I'd rarely see him in the middle of the week. But on the weekend, we'd hang out. We'd do stuff. I think my dad was more of a normal dad.
Okay. So.
Did some abnormal things every once in a while, but it was okay.
So Jeffrey's a better dad than Anthony's dad, but not quite as good as Charlie's dad. Who's next?
Rover's dad abandoned him. Slept with minors, was a criminal, and died in jail.
Yeah, that's not good. Jeffrey's a better dad than
better?
That.
Yes.
I say better.
Much better. Next.
Dieter's dad stomped him with cleats, beat him in the front yard, always wants to fight people.
He was there. He was loving.
He wasn't loving. He never told you, I love you.
He taught me hard. Once he did. He taught me hard work.
But that's what dads don't say that a lot. They don't say I love you.
No,
I can't think of a time my dad's ever said that.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh,
or
that,
a hug.
Yeah, father's
oh
not saying that.
Anthony, you say to your kids, I love you, right?
You're talking to
they
Anthony.
Can't hear him, though.
I do. They hate it, but yeah, I do.
But you say it.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, I mean.
Yeah, they don't say it back. They're like, yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's normal. They're teenagers. I get it. But not ever saying it.
Doogie's dad had a secret second family, disowned her, and removed her from the will for that other family.
Not a secret second family. He had an affair, and then my mom and dad got divorced. And then when he was diagnosed with cancer before he died, the new wife made him change his will and cut me out of the will so that I wouldn't get any of his business.
So who's better? Jeffrey.
My dad was an amazing dad. Oh my God, he was awesome.
He disowned you in the will.
He was, and I've forgiven him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that more Doogie or the dad, would you say, Rover?
Doogie's fault.
What?
So you can't blame the dad then. So he was a good dad.
He was an amazing dad. I love you, Daddy.
Nance's dad is and was an enabler of a drug addict or drug addicts, is what John says. Is Jeffrey a better or worse father than Papa Nance?
Well, besides
that, you guys are really taking time to.
Well, besides the drug part, Rover, I think he's a good dad.
Okay,
you could disregard that.
Takes him.
He's a great man. He's hardworking. He provides.
Yeah,
he lost his son to suicide, and he shows a lot of love and compassion. So.
Okay, so Jeffrey's not a better dad.
Okay, all right, your dad beat out Jeffrey.
I'm the a-hole, not my dad.
Kara in Dayton, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning.
Hey.
I listen to you guys every morning on my way to work.
Thank you.
I drive for a living, so it's like all day long. But I was talking about the heroin overdoses. Now, Dayton's really bad for those, but I did lose my best friend of 8 years 2 weeks ago because she never did heroin a day in her life, and then she got with this guy, and now she's dead and left two kids behind. Mm. And so, but... You guys think that he should not be in jail? I think he needs to be.
Well, what did he? So she had never done heroin. Then she hooked up with this guy, and what? She just starts doing heroin with him?
Yeah, he's like, well, if you love me, you do it. And she was weak, and it ended up killing her.
And, I don't care who says that to me. I'm not going to start doing heroin.
I agree.
And what was the situation of her overdose? Was the boyfriend around and just let her overdose? Or what was the scenario there?
Yeah. He was around, and he left her. And so somebody found her. And, you know, he claims like, on Facebook that he loves her and blah, blah, blah. But he never did even show up to her funeral. He never showed up. And he said it was because of the confrontation that he would have with other people.
Now, when you said that, okay, so she did the heroin, she overdosed. Was he there and watched her overdose and then just left?
Yes, sir.
Hmm. Well, this is why, because people are afraid if they're going to be charged with a crime. You know, if he would have taken her to the hospital or called 911, look what happened to those kids in Rochester. They were charged with negligent homicide. I wouldn't be calling 911 either if I were a drug addict and someone overdosed around me.
The fact is that he's the one who got her on it. Now, I've known this woman for 8 years, and she's never did anything like that until he came into her life. And I believe that he needs to be locked up.
Well, I believe that he is a creep. He's a jerk. He's probably, in a way, responsible for her death. But
just up and leave her?
But he's an addict. He doesn't know. I mean, that's not really him.
Like, well, if he did up and leave her, if he didn't call 911, didn't try and get any help, you know, I don't even know if that would necessarily be a crime. Failure to report something.
I think failure to report a death is a crime.
But what if she weren't dead? She could have been alive when he left.
Well, I didn't know she was dead. Yeah. I mean,
but
when she got to the hospital, they said that she was dead when they got there.
Yeah.
That's what they told her sister.
But at some point, though, you do have to, I know you don't want to hear this, but you do have to take personal responsibility. Your friend is the one who said, oh, okay, this guy wants me to do heroin. Okay, I'll do heroin. I wouldn't do that. If my fiance, if I went home today and she goes, listen, you need to start doing heroin with me, I'd go, bitch, get the hell out of here.
Right.
I mean, it's insane.
See, I was with a dude that did heroin, and I never touched it because somebody had to be sober for our children.
Why would you stay with a guy that did heroin?
But I had to be there for my kids. Like, what if they got hurt? We were both.
Yeah, but why stay with that guy in the first place? I mean, the guy's on heroin. You probably just...
I did not stay with him. That's why I have all of our children.
Yeah, I mean, that's the right thing to do. You got to get those kids, get out of there. That guy, anyone who's on heroin is bad news. Stay away. And she's right. It's in that area, it's terrible. It's swept the country, though. I mean, I would say almost anywhere could say that now. Anywhere that calls the show from all over the country, they'll... Oh, this area is really horrible for heroin because it's the entire country is horrible for heroin right now. Kara, thank you. I appreciate it. sorry that her friend died. That's sad. But I do believe that you have to take some personal responsibility. If you start doing heroin because some guy tells you to do it, I mean, and you have two kids, as she said, I mean, before you stick that needle in your arm or however you're doing heroin, snorting it
or shooting it up.
Think about those kids. Think about you in the morgue. I've got to take a break. The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way, Dougie?
I know you're ripping on me because I have a Christmas sweater on, and you talked about a story, the headline that you read. You don't know the details, but listening to Christmas music too early can harm you. Why? I'll tell you next.
All right. We'll be right back.
Rover's Morning Glory. Jeffrey LaRoque.
Question for Jeffrey. If he's married, why is he out trying to hit on chicks all the time? And what's he going to do when he brings home gonorrhea to his wife? I'm just curious.
Who? Donna Reed?
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
The shizzy is coming up in a moment. What do you have on the way, Dougie?
Why is listening to Christmas music too early harmful for you? I will tell you coming up next.
All right, we'll get to that in a moment. I saw that headline. I didn't read the article. I saw that it could affect you mentally. You could be a mental patient if you listen to too much Christmas music. At least that's what the headline made it sound like. Nick in Dayton, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Yo.
Good
morning. Hey, man.
Hey, man, I love the show. I was just kind of curious. I heard you guys talking about the heroin overdoses and stuff. And
yes.
I heard Dougie mention that she feels like it was right that people get locked up or whatever, but I just don't really see how anybody could blame their boyfriend or their friend or anybody else for them doing heroin. I mean, I can't have a heart attack and then go blame McDonald's. And they actually advertise and begged you to come in and buy their, you know, heart attack-giving food. So I don't see how they're, you know, reasoning that people should be charged with homicide or anything like that for just, you know, being around when somebody does heroin.
I agree. I mean, I don't think they should be.
I disagree. I think that they should.
Yeah, it's the person's fault. If you overdose on heroin, it's your fault.
You put the needle in your arm, right?
Yeah.
Unless they put a gun to your head and say, put this in your arm. You can always say no.
Exactly. That's right. I mean,
I get the charging the dealers and stuff, or, you know, they're dealing it and giving it to kids or whatever, you know, that kind of is reasonable, but I just can't see, you know, if you're not going to, like I said, if you're not going to charge McDonald's when I have a heart attack after I eat this McDonald's I'm about to eat, then, you know, how could you charge somebody for just being present when another person overdoses?
It says here in my system that Nick knows 30 to 50 people that have died because of heroin. 30 to 50? Is that true?
Yeah, I grew up right here in Dayton. I know.
You're hanging out with the wrong crowd, my friend. I mean, 30 to 50 people dead of heroin.
Do you do drugs, Nick?
No, this isn't people that are friends of mine. This is everybody I went to high school with, everybody's cousin or boyfriend or something. I mean, I see it daily on my social media and stuff. I mean, several people a day on my social media are passing away from heroin. And, I mean, it's crazy. It's like, I understand, you know, it's out there, it's everywhere, but how can you blame, you know, how could you blame me if I was driving in a car with somebody?
Almost makes me wonder, like, how good is this heroin if everyone's doing this and they're dying?
It's pretty good.
What am I missing out on here? It's good, Nads? You love the heroin?
It feels pretty good. But do you blame the bar that over-serves you alcohol when you get in a drunk driving accident?
They do.
They do, legally, yeah.
That's a bad example.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there, guys.
Dougie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Hit the shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Hell of a way to commit suicide. There's a carnival worker that was found dead from an apparent suicide at a school fair in Florida. Police said that the worker's body was found in the morning when a volunteer went into a storage trailer at Trinity Catholic School campus. Now, this is in Virginia Gardens, and the identity of the worker was not immediately released because they had to let people know, the family members know, but they said that no fairgoers were present at the time the carnival was slated to start today.
How did he do it? Did he jump off something? Was he in a machine?
They don't say how he did it, but he did it. They said it was inside the trailer. It wasn't on a ride.
Mm. Oh, I thought he jumped off like the Ferris wheel at the top.
No, he was found in the morning, so he all did commit suicide at the fair. There's another Florida story for you. There's a private school that's selling bulletproof panels for children to insert in their backpacks in case of a mass shooting. It's kind of smart.
That's a sad.
I know, but I saw this and I was like, I should buy this.
Sad state of the world.
That girl with it in front of her face.
I mean, that's smart.
You're getting shot at. You got to get behind it.
There's a company here in town that makes those. Remember the guy used to come around? There's a guy that made that bulletproof stuff, Charlie. Do you remember?
To put in your backpack?
He makes bulletproof clipboards for police. So, like, when they're writing out a ticket, apparently they can, like, shield themselves from bullets.
I love it.
I think that would fly right out of your hand as soon as they got hit by one bullet.
But it stops that one bullet.
Yeah, I just hope they don't shoot twice. All right, go on.
What do you think about this story? And I know we didn't talk about this yesterday, but what do you think about the UCLA players that stole sunglasses from in China?
You know, I didn't read the whole article. I just know it's that what's-his-face ball.
Yes.
One of those ball.
LiAngelo. No.
His brother.
The ball bozos.
Yeah.
They were in, a Louis Vuitton shop, and they...
Swiped.
It was sunglasses that they took? All right. And... He's in jail right now in China?
No, that's why people are saying that they don't think... I mean, in China, they don't mess around. They have like almost 100% conviction rate. So these three students...
They have 100% conviction rate. I don't think their legal system is probably as fair as ours.
I'm just saying that...
You're guilty as soon as you're arrested.
Where was the kid that stole the poster off the wall? Where was that?
That was North Korea. That's a different, different country.
So right now, these three kids, they were released on bond or bail, and they're in hotel. The authorities said, stay here until... everything gets figured out. But they say that could take months. Mr. Ball, the guy who's over there with the father of the ball crazies, he's like, it's no big deal. Everything's fine.
All right.
Do you think anything bad's going to happen? Like they could go to jail in China?
I don't think they would have let him out if they were going to go to jail. I think they would have kept them in there.
New federal regulations take effect today that will make it harder for U.S. citizens seeking to travel to Cuba and do business on the island. You guys did... mentioned we should go to Cuba before it's going to be harder. Well, starting today, it's going to be much harder. Remember, President Obama ended more than 50 years of diplomatic isolation with Cuba back in 2014. But now that President Trump is in office, he announced back in June that he would roll back those Obama moves and make it more difficult.
Anything Obama did,
gotta change it.
Roll that back for sure.
Absolutely.
I also saw Trump was saying that he doesn't blame China now for anything. Trade deficits. It's not China's fault.
China.
Remember, day one, he was going to label China a currency manipulator, if you'll remember that.
China.
Well, we're 1 year in.
China.
Still waiting for that currency manipulator label.
China.
Lots of day one stuff. We're on day 360. I guess really we're not at 1 year of the presidency
yet.
1 year after being elected.
Correct.
So we're 10 months in. Not quite day one. Still waiting. Go on.
Actor Kevin Spacey, still in the news. Still people coming out talking about how he has somehow affected them or touched them or molested them. We now have a teenage son of a local journalist on Nantucket Island. She has said, she did a press conference, she said that Kevin Spacey touched her son. And her son, at the time that this had happened, begged the mom, please don't say anything. Who's going to believe me? He's an actor.
Yeah, so this story is interesting. It sounds like Kevin Spacey is a creep, but don't get me wrong. But they're in a bar. This kid meets Kevin Spacey. He's 18 years old. He lies and tells Kevin Spacey he's 21. Kevin Spacey Big Bad Kevin Spacey gives him a bunch of drinks.
Gets him wasted.
And then they're sitting there in the booth at the bar or whatever, and he supposedly sticks his hand down this guy's pants.
Whoa.
Kevin Spacey then later got up to go to the bathroom, and this kid ran away, apparently. He left the club, the bar,
well, he, I think this 18-year-old was distraught, and some woman said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Run. Run as fast as you can." And the 18, it's not funny. Why are you laughing?
No, it's just... It's,
and he ran, and he was scared. He was assaulted by, allegedly, by Kevin Spacey. It's not funny.
I'm not saying it's funny. I'm saying it's, you know, you're in a bar. You've lied about your age. You're having drinks after drink with someone. I've also told, I took a lot of heat. I tell this to women and they go, "Oh, don't victim blame." But I tell this to guys when I say you're going to get beat up if you're in a, you know, walking around downtown at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're wasted. Chances are you're going to get mugged. Is that victim blaming if I say that? No, no one says a thing about that. No one says I'm a victim blamer then. But if you tell women, "Hey, listen, it's not right if you're touched or molested or assaulted. We get that. However, you have to think when you go out, don't get so wasted that you don't know what the hell's going on around you and you become an easy target for creeps." And it applies in this case, too. The guy lies about his age. He's drinking. He gets drunk. Who knows? If he's that wasted.
But that woman saw.
Wait a second. If you're that wasted, how do you even know what the hell was going on?
If he's like,
"It was assault. I was so wasted that he took advantage of me." Well, how do you remember then if you were that wasted?
The woman that told him to run apparently saw this, and they're asking that person to come forward. So
I don't even know what exactly the woman saw or what they said about the woman.
Hand
did
down,
the woman know this guy? What was the situation? Okay, what did the woman see? What did she say? Did she know? She didn't know this kid.
She was just an innocent.
She was at the bar walking by. How did she see it?
I don't know.
And the kid's quote was,
"You wouldn't know if you read it." But
the kid's quote was, "He tried to rape me." Kevin Spacey tried to rape him
in a bar.
He said it. He tried to rape
in public.
But what does he mean when he put his hand down his pants? That he was raping him?
No, that'd be a sexual assault. That's
that the left the mom's comment. My son said Kevin Spacey tried to rape him.
Well, unless Kevin Spacey was trying to rape him in the middle of a public bar, in the booth,
which I doubt.
You know, I'm not saying Kevin Spacey's a good guy or that he didn't do anything wrong. Obviously, it's wrong to stick your hand down someone's pants uninvited. I get that.
Meanwhile, director Ridley Scott has recast Kevin Spacey's role in a movie that's already been shot, edited, due to be released in December.
Yeah, in like 5 weeks.
Yes.
Oh, he's not going to work again.
Spacey played the role of real-life oil billionaire J. Paul Getty, and the movie's called All the Money in the World, and his part has been recast. It's going to go to veteran actor Christopher Plummer. So he has shots with Michelle Williams and Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. And Ridley Scott said, "Look, I need help here. I can't do this. We want him out.
I mean, do you know how much work that is to reshoot? Not only reshoot it, get everyone together.
Their schedules,
rebuild
Michelle.
The sets, do whatever they have to do.
Yep.
And then, yeah, all the wardrobe, everything has to be matched perfectly. Then it has to be edited in.
Yes.
The dialogue has to be, if they have to re-record any dialogue, if they have to, edit it so that it matches the soundtrack. Because sometimes music is recorded while they're watching, you know, like the orchestra will be watching the movie on a big screen and they'll record it so that everything matches up time-wise. So they're going to have to edit to what has already been recorded, I'm assuming.
Think of the actors' bodies. That's a lot of work. Think of their bodies alone, Michelle Williams, Mark Wahlberg, if they're doing some other movie, whether they had to gain weight or change or do this or that, they now have to see, we have to get back in line with this.
How much was he in this movie?
Enough to reshoot all this stuff.
Well, I know. Was he like 8 days on it, I guess.
Okay, so. But he's not like
usually a movie films. I mean, if it depends. If it's like a superhero movie, it could film for 60 days, 90 days on that. But most movies, it's usually 30 days. give or take, obviously, depending on the thing. So he was, he worked for 8 days on it.
And they're trying to get...
It's a lot of work.
So,
Rover, that's cheaper than losing all that money if you keep Kevin Spacey in it.
That's what Sony Pictures said. They said, we'll cough up the money, we'll make this work.
Yeah, say it costs $10 million for the reshoots.
Mm-hmm.
They can lose $50, $100 million. Nobody's going to go see this movie.
I'm not talking about the cost of it. I'm talking about this movie is slated to be released in 5 weeks. In order to turn that around is...
Oh, you're... Okay, time frame.
So here's the deal. Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Williams had to readjust their schedules. They're going to do all of this work, the reshooting, by Thanksgiving.
So you got a week?
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty.
2 weeks? They've got to do all
that.
Yep.
Does Spacey still get paid for this?
Yes, for sure. Probably already has been paid.
And finally, Christmas music. I'm ready for some Christmas music on the radio. Let's do this. I'm ready for the snow and the trees and the decorations. I've got my Christmas sweater on right now. And there's a headline. Psychologist: listening to Christmas music too early can harm your mental health. Why is that? Well, this clinical psychologist by the name of Linda Blair, she claims that the constant barrage of Christmas music way too early in the season, it'll force people to remember all the things that they have to do before the holiday. She says the songs are a reminder to buy presents, cater parties, organize travel, and all the more stressful chaos, chores, everything that
just
needs
like
to get
me.
Done.
Don't worry about any of that stuff.
They say that you're simply spending all of your energy trying not to hear what you're hearing. It just stresses you out. Stressful means heart attacks. It makes you depressed.
I think that's a big difference between men and women. Like, maybe it's not all men and women. Maybe it's just my fiance. She, I'm telling you, cannot stop thinking, planning, trying to
you need
get
that.
Details and
you
come up with
that.
A game plan. I am the opposite. I'm like, eh, whatever, we'll figure it out. Don't stress out about it. She is just like she is so stressed out about everything.
She's gonna have a heart attack, man.
No, but it's your fault. It's your you don't realize it's your fault that she's that stressed out because there are so many different elements
I would tell
that
her
need
this.
To get done.
Honey, if you're listening right now.
She is.
Don't be stressed. If I'm not stressed, you don't have to
be
stressed.
That's not how it works, Rover.
Don't you think it's possible that you're not stressed out and she's stressed out and these things are just happening because she's making them happen?
No, he makes everybody's jobs way harder.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you're not aware of the amount of... I mean, I'm sure you're aware of it, but, like, they're stressed out and they're getting it done. And then when you get to that point, you're like, oh, this is already done. It's all good.
Yeah, you don't realize the work that goes into behind the scenes because I almost swore. Stuff just gets done. And we do that without you knowing it. But when you
Do you think the CEO of a company is involved in every little aspect? I don't need to know.
No, but he answers freaking questions to help his workers get stuff done. You are just like, you grunt.
Show some initiative, Doogie.
What?
And when I do give direction, here's why I don't give direction. When I do give direction to Doogie, it's
change
just a constant
mind.
Fight.
Oh,
it's an
right
argument.
Away.
No, it is a constant
argument.
No, we
don't. Yeah.
No, do it that way.
I go, I don't know how many times have you guys heard me tell her, just do what I say. Just do it.
You change your mind. You flip, flop, flip. In fact, I'm having a meeting today with other witnesses so that they can help me keep you organized because one day you're doing one thing, the next day you've changed it. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Give me an example.
No, that's why.
Give me an example.
That's why.
Give me one
your
example.
Fiance
what if I flip flopped on? One
is
example.
Totally stressed
one
out.
One example. She can't. That's why she's stalling. Okay. One example of me flip flopping.
I'm good.
I didn't think so.
Merry Christmas. That's the Shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Happy New Year, y'all bat. let me take a break. We'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. What is an ass hawk, you might ask?
Oh my God! It has a mohawk! His ass has a mohawk!
Now you know. Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Shave that ass, dude.
That pitcher who died in the plane crash, Roy Halladay, he apparently was, according to TMZ Sports and video obtained by them, he apparently was showboating before he got in that crash. Give me one second here. Let me pull this up.
Like, is showboating, like, goofing around, like...
Showing
yeah,
off.
Yeah, showing up, going up and down and, okay. and you know, flying recklessly.
Oh, no.
Here is a little bit of video of his plane. It doesn't show the actual crash. This is in... What's that?
Where's the video from? Who shot this? Do you know?
Some guy out on a boat in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
And here it is. That's his plane.
What the f***?
I guess he's getting real low. He's going, what, 40 feet?
What the
to 5 feet, right?
5 feet? The
airplane crashes.
Then the plane crashes, and these guys go, and they see it.
No.
Yeah, they drive on their boat earlier, over there.
And we're pretty sure we're going towards him. He just crashed right here in the Gulf of Mexico. We're literally... can't even begin to tell you this was crazy. We saw it go into the Gulf of Mexico, literally. Holy f***ing dude.
This guy curses more than Doogie in front of the Pepsi.
The most annoying guy I've ever seen.
Holy slow down, Bill, slow down.
So there's
God, bro.
There's another boat that just pulled up too, right where the plane crashed.
Oh my god, that's the boat.
Oh,
that's
my God.
The plane, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Holy shit, bro. Holy shit.
Where's the body?
It's probably in there still. Did you dive in?
Holy shit. 911.
Let's see how these guys react.
Is anybody calling 911? He's got to be in there, bro.
No, he went right over. Yeah, super low.
Ridiculous.
Go in the water. Oh, my God, bro. What was he thinking? Or he or she.
Where's the...
Oh, my God. Bro, I'm, like, literally shaking. No. Yeah, dude, we saw it f***ing just veer and just go right in. Holy s***, bro. There he is. Oh, my God, man.
I think they cut, TMZ cut this.
Is he in there?
Yeah, he must be in there. They say there's his shirt, but you can't see in this video. They obviously made an edit right there.
There he is. Oh my God, man.
Why not?
Oh my God. Holy God, bro. This is, I'm like shaking, bro. That's so fucking nuts that just happened. Like, how the f***?
You're right. This guy is annoying, isn't he?
Take it easy, guys.
Oh, it's just all about himself and how he's shaking.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy, guys.
The Coast Guard is finally out.
Yeah, and then the Coast Guard comes, but...
Don't you jump in?
Well,
depends.
According to the story, they said that it was immediately apparent that he was dead. I mean, who knows? Maybe he was decapitated or something.
Oh, like, yeah, his head just completely backwards. Who knows?
But I am sort of surprised that no one...
jumps in?
At least.
Well, there could be a second person that maybe you don't even see.
Exactly, too. Right. I mean, yeah. I'm wouldn't you at least try to do something?
Yeah, they were more filming it. Yeah,
these guys
and
were.
And then saying, why don't you guys call the cops?
Yeah.
I'm using my phone to film this.
You're right.
Whoa, bro.
Wow, that's sad. I would not. Oh, I feel bad for that. He's got two kids. He's got
so they
a wife.
Must. They must have really, they must have his body on film. TMZ just cut that part out of the video, obviously. They must have seen that he was obviously dead, but you're right. They don't know if there's a second person in there. The plane is flipped over. It's upside down. Mm. It's all smashed up. And
the promotional video he shot before he died?
Yeah.
Yep.
The guy he's flying with, doesn't he bank the plane like sharp turns and brings it down pretty low in that
mm-hmm.
canyon.
Mm-hmm.
So you think he was kind of duplicating that same move, trying to bank low, go close to the water.
But if it's a boat plane, if you're that low, why do you crash?
Like, well, you still can't touch the water. If he's 5 feet above the water, you can't be that. You're supposed to stay, I think, 300 feet above the water, they said. And he was 5 feet above the water?
Who said that?
The something about the plane. I don't know. The flight instructor.
Well, I mean, how are you going to land? How are you going to land on the water?
Oh, you're flying. Not when you're coming in, Rover, of course. But he wasn't landing. He was just showboating, hugging the water 5 feet above it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm no genius, but if you're hugging the water 5 feet above it, why can't you just land it? Why does it crash? Unless it flipped.
Well, if you catch a wingtip, it goes, but it doesn't sound like that's what he did. These guys on the boat saw it from far away. They saw him go straight in, they said.
Okay.
So
yeah, this says he's going 100 feet in the air, down to 5 feet, and then back up again.
Oh, wow.
Repeatedly.
Well, it now there's also a radio host. I haven't heard the whole thing, but somebody, Felger, never heard of this guy, Felger and Maserati, sports guys, of course. This Felger guy was not too sympathetic to Roy Halladay. I just have the podcast pulled up, so I don't know what he's going to say. It's like a 20-minute podcast. But I did see some of the quotes that he's not too sympathetic. He's basically saying, hey, this guy, he got what he deserved. Here's a little bit of it.
I love this, too. So in May, the plane's test pilot, chief test pilot, who was responsible for the plane's design, died in a crash in California. The plane is the A5, by the way. And so, again, it's an amphibious two-seat little plane that the wings fold up and you can put in your garage. Whee! Cool! Look at my plane in my garage!
You can buy it for $390,000.
Splat! Whee! I've got a plane in my garage, everybody! Look, I can fly it over the water! Whee! Whee! I can put my hand out the window! Yeah! I'm gonna tweet it! Dead. To the point where the guy risks his life. It's just outrageous to me. God, I hate it. I hate hearing that story. Anyway, the chief test pilot, who was responsible for the plane's design, died in a crash in California in May. The NTSB concluded that the probable cause of that accident was pilot error.
So anyway, that you know, he's basically saying that this guy, he shouldn't have been flying. Don't take that up as a hobby because he might die. I think he had two kids,
he did.
I believe. And this guy's like, hey, he got what he deserved. If you want to go out, you want to fly a plane. Yeah, he said that. He said, let me give you the exact quote. I don't want to misquote a fellow radio guy. He said, he got what he deserved. He also called him a jackass. The host then went on to say, if I die helicopter skiing, you have the right to do the exact same thing I'm doing to Roy Halladay. He got what he deserved.
Disrespectful. That's terrible.
Look, I just landed on the water, everybody. I'm going to tweet it. Splat, you're dead with two kids, moron. That's what he says.
Did he get in trouble?
I don't know. I don't know what they, you know, this is CBS, or I guess Entercom bought CBS. So I don't know who the hell owns this radio station out there in Boston now, but I don't know what the reaction is going to be on that. Is that insensitive that you say that after the death of someone?
Too soon. It just happened a day ago.
I don't know though, because he was being very irresponsible.
But they didn't know that at the time of this.
No, they did.
He did. I think they knew that they saw this video. I think this is an afternoon show. I think the video came out during their show, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think this guy was bad-mouthing Halladay even before the video came out, the day before.
Just for having a pilot's license?
Yeah, and saying it's irresponsible. And by the way, if you are showboating, if you're going up and down, is that really... Is that bad? I mean,
yes.
You're over water. So what if you're going up and down and banking and that
to
kind
5
of stuff?
Feet. If you're going 100 to 5 feet, that's you're doing something.
Well, they show that in the videos for this plane. I mean, the plane's flying right over the water.
Is that what you're supposed to do? Is go up and down
If they're advertising it that way.
Wasn't a skilled pilot doing that?
He's dead, though.
When Nads crashes his skateboard, you blame him, though, right? He's the idiot for riding a skateboard.
He's an idiot.
Even though on the video they show him.
He didn't have a helmet on.
Exactly. So if you're flying your airplane around, you're the idiot for flying your airplane around going 100 feet to 5 feet. You should just be riding it normal.
Well, we don't know. How do you know that the airplane, that it didn't have a malfunction, that something snapped and he lost control and crashed into the water?
And what if the malfunction was from him going 100 feet to 5 feet and putting a lot of stress on these wings or whatever?
But if it's within the manufacturer's limits and something of theirs breaks, then it's not his fault that he crashed the plane.
I don't know.
Now, if Nads was riding his electric skateboard and the wheel fell off, then it wouldn't be his fault. But no, he's just an idiot.
But he'd still be an idiot because he didn't have a helmet on.
Well, that's true.
You need to wear a helmet.
True. You blame Nads for his accident, but this guy, you blame the plane.
Well, I don't know. They haven't even had an investigation. We didn't need to do an investigation to know that Nads was, going to get cigarettes on his electric skateboard.
There's footage of him flying recklessly.
But we don't know right.
Well, I don't know. I think flying recklessly is a subjective term. How do you know that he was just going up and down? I don't know. Does that make you reckless?
Yes.
Well, from the headlines, it says showboating. He's a brand new pilot.
Yeah, but I don't believe headlines that I read.
You're not a stunt pilot.
Fake news. Yeah.
Rover, he's doing like stunt pilot moves. You should go up, fly to your spot, and go back down like a regular pilot.
You learn what you're doing.
This guy's banking, dropping,
but how
doing
do we
a death
know?
Dive.
We don't know what his experience as a pilot was.
Not good, obviously.
Yeah, not good at all.
Before there's even an investigation, I don't know if I would put all the blame on him. And just some guy on a boat said, oh, you're showboating. Well, how does a guy in the boat know he doesn't know what showboating is. Maybe this is completely flying within the limits and tolerances of the aircraft. Maybe he's practicing various things. Maybe banks, turns, up, down. You do things over and over again. Maybe he's trying to get a feel for the aircraft and its capabilities. So to say that he's, I don't just trust some hillbilly fisherman. Hey, he was showboating. I don't know that. How do you know something didn't mechanically fail in this aircraft that caused him to crash? So if it was a mechanical failure, would this guy take it back?
He should.
Yeah.
But so how do you
still kind of right? You shouldn't be up flying an airplane unless you're a pilot. To me, it just seems like it's a dumb hobby.
So what about
Harrison
Ford?
Because of all the news stories, no,
he's had three crashes.
What are you talking about?
Here's a horrible example.
Needs to hang up his pilot license or whatever. It's enough. He's old. He's too old to be flying around. You hear news stories all the time of these small airplanes crashing.
Then why would you buy Rover an airplane certificate to go get his pilot license?
Wants to take my place, obviously.
He's trying to
clear me out.
Rise from the ashes like the phoenix.
Uh-huh. John, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, John.
Hey, Rover.
Hey.
Dieter, y'all.
Yo!
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm a pilot, and this guy here, he's breaking federal regulations. You can't go 300 feet within the ground. You must be retarded because you can't just go cruising speed, full speed at the ground. You don't land a plane like that. You just have the right angle of attack. You got to go as slow as you can to stall speed. It's not designed to just fly full speed into the ground. Water is like concrete at those speeds.
Well, first of all, when it comes to regulations, I don't know if the same regulations. This is I forget what classification, but you don't even have to have. It's a different pilot's license, as a matter of fact, for this aircraft because it's so light. It's classified. It's like a new classification. It's so small and so light. No, it's even something different than that. I'd have to look it up. So I don't know if the same regulations apply.
All those regulations apply for you getting that license, but everyone follows the same rules. It's like driving on the road. You might have a CDL or just a regular operator's permit, but you still follow the same speed limit. You know, you got to stop on red. You don't go within 300 feet of the ground.
Let's see here. I'm looking. I forget how this thing. It is different. There is a difference between this and what do they call this? I'd have to look this up. Hold on. Give me a second. It's a light sport aircraft, and the pilot's license is a new type of pilot's certificate. Mm. It's called a sport pilot license. So
that's not new. Those have been around. They just lower the requirements. You don't have to have ridiculous amount of hours to be flying.
I'm reading it right here. It says the sport pilot license is a new type of pilot certificate designed to get you safely and easily trained for recreational flying in LSAs, light sport aircraft. So everything I've read says that this is new over the past year or two. This is not something that's, you know, this is a new aircraft. It's a new classification by the FAA, it's not as stringent of requirements as far as the pilot's license go. I don't know whether when you say he has to fly over 300 feet, I don't know if that applies to this, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. The same rules still apply. It's just your requirements for being allowed in the air. And that's not a license either. It's a certificate. You do something stupid one time, and then you're liable to have that license revoked or certificate revoked.
Well, you have to worry about that now.
Well, he's had it permanently revoked. All right. Thank you, John. Mark, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Mark.
Yo, Rover.
Yo.
Hey. So I saw somewhere that they said, I guess the plane, it's called like an Icon A5 or something. I think
that's right. Yeah.
And I read that only 7 of them so far have been made, and so far 3 of them have crashed.
That's a good record so far.
It's almost half. Half go down.
Maybe I don't want one of those. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, I don't know if it's because the people that are flying them are being reckless or if it's a plane issue.
Hmm.
By the way, there is no, I'm looking at this, under 300 feet is operating in the low altitude environment for the Icon A5. There's no requirement that says you have to be over 300 feet.
That's what I heard. It was supposed to be the spot where you're supposed to fly at.
But that's, again, that may be for a little Cessna or something, a regular aircraft. These are a totally different classification of aircraft, these light sport aircraft or whatever they're called. So I don't know. I think it's too soon to rush to judgment for this. This guy, Jay, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Jay.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the point. You guys are talking about, it's stupid to have a flying license and to do that as a hobby. Well, what about all the guys that ride motorcycles? I mean, I know it's a different comparison, but, I mean, that's stupid, too. I mean,
no, it's not really that different because, obviously, if you look at statistics and numbers, you are probably 100 times more likely to be killed in a motorcycle crash than you are a car crash. Yet thousands of people are still driving. Millions of people are driving around on motorcycles in the country every day. If you splatter on the highway, should I go on the air and talk about you got what you deserve? What an idiot you are.
If I'm showboating and popping wheelies and stuff, then yes, Rover.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm going from point A to point B, then no. I'm doing what it's intended to do, get me somewhere. This guy sounds like he's going up and down, doing a stall tactic, death dive.
Well, now he's just making stuff up. Dude is just pulling this right out of his ass, the death dive.
Well, I've been in a stunt plane, and it seems like he was doing what the pilot
did. The same side.
What?
Go ahead.
All right, get it. Go on.
Yes,
here.
I've been in those stunt planes.
Yeah.
Remember that guy took me up? He would stall the engine and dive straight to the water.
Oh,
at the last second, he would restart the engine and go straight out. It was an advanced move. This guy was in the Air Force for like 30 years.
But Roy Halladay wasn't doing that.
It looked like it from what I saw. He was
that
dropping
video,
down from 100 feet to 5
that
feet.
That video, it made it look like a death dive? That, to you, is a death dive?
He dropped out of the sky like a damn bird.
Here's the video again. He's dropping out of the sky? No, he's turning. It's a bank turn.
Whoa, that's a low bank turn.
Yes, it's low. It's.
That's can't be
me. What the f, dude?
How long's he had that plane?
October?
Yeah,
a month.
A month, yeah.
You're doing a freaking death dive.
That was not a death dive. That was a turn.
Even those great reporters that were on the scene filming it noticed something was wrong.
Yeah, that's why they were filming it, because he was acting like a maniac. If you see an airplane, you don't film it.
Yeah,
if you see an airplane
across.
going psycho in the air, you get out your camera. You go, why is this happening?
Again, a different classification of aircraft. You don't see that on a regular plane, but these are different kinds of planes that are smaller. They're designed for, you know, the low flying like this. So, I don't know if it's fair to blame this guy, call this guy irresponsible. Death dive, Dieter calls it. Doogie?
Yo.
Do we have the shizzy, the news coming up?
We don't.
No? Okay. Oh, the Thursday hookup. All right. We have a single woman coming in who wants to go out on a date with you. You'll be able to call in and talk to her. She's going to pick one guy to take out on the date. Might as well be you. So we'll find out what kind of guy she's looking for. And if you think you'd be a good match for her, we'll let you call in. And if she picks you, we'll pay for the entire date. I saw that Andrew Cuomo, the New York governor, went out to California, which is fueling speculation that he may run for president.
Is that a little too early?
No. You kidding?
Trump's been in office less than a year.
Oh, my God. We complain all the time.
Well, he's not going to announce, but people will sort of lay the groundwork.
Yes.
But I got to thinking about this. I want you to go back in time just a couple of years. Cuomo had a book come out.
Oh, God.
The same day as our very own Jeffrey LaRocque.
What happened?
Jeffrey's book outsold Governor Cuomo's book. Outsold it. A radio guy who can't string two sentences together. He writes what is perhaps the greatest literary piece of garbage in the world ever in time.
Jeffrey LaRocque, vice president.
Yeah. Blood in the Studio is the name of Jeffrey's book, and he outsold Governor Cuomo's book.
So if anybody should run,
it should be Jeffrey.
Oh,
I don't think Cuomo has the... I mean, people in his own state don't want to buy the book.
But just because they don't want to buy the book, does that mean that he can't be president?
I don't think he has the level of excitement or the level of, you know, no one's like, oh, God, I love him. We got to talk about him. He's just kind of, whatever.
Vanilla?
Yeah.
Sometimes vanilla works.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back with the Thursday hookup on Rover's Morning Glory. Hang on.
Unbelievable.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Thought he would get a standing ovation for his performance in bed.
Yeah, thank you!
But all he ended up with was the clap.
This is a weekend ruiner, Rover.
Welcome back to Rover's Morning Glory.
Thursday, we have the Thursday hookup coming up. A single woman coming into the studio who wants to go out on a date with you. You'll be able to call in and talk to her. She's going to pick one guy to take out on the date, and we will pay for the entire thing. Someone emailed earlier, I read the email, they wanted to know at Holy Moses Matrimony if they bought an RMG hoodie, if they would have some place to keep it. And the answer is no. Once you know, try and wait till the end, buy it on your way out if you want, or just put it on. Get it out of the way, I guess.
Tie it around your waist?
But yeah,
why not?
A lot of people are thinking if they're dressed up.
What?
If you're dressed up, how are you going to put a hoodie on if you're in wedding attire?
Put it on underneath your sport coat.
But like you said earlier, you use coat check. I've been at concerts before. You get the t-shirt up front first, and then just use the coat check.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to run out of place at the coat check place, though. If everyone's buying a hoodie and then coat checking it. But
holy Moses!
Regardless, the brand new Rover's Morning Glory hoodies, I think everyone is going to love them. They're different than anything we've ever done in the past. A different style of hoodie, they're just different. I think you'll really like these. And if you are an RMG Plus subscriber, we might have a special treat for you. I'm just throwing that out there. If you're a Plus subscriber, something kind of cool may be available for you. Maybe not at Holy Moses Matrimony, but shortly after. That's all I can tell you right now. So I think you'll be pleased. But the new hoodie, I think I really like it. And we'll unveil them at Holy Moses Matrimony only about a week away now. It's a week from Saturday. And then at some point they'll be available online. I just don't know when. Usually it's pretty quickly, but now Doogie's hovering in there. I thought Jeffrey was here today, but it's Doogie hovering. Yes.
Will you unveil them at the ceremony, or you're going to unveil them next week, right?
Unveil what?
The hoodies. You said you'll unveil them at the ceremony, at Holy Moses Matrimony. Yeah, usually, we're going to see them next week?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, just clarify.
Okay.
Huh?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Get out of here. It's 1 hour during the hookup. I don't have to deal with her and look at her just butting in. All right, are you ready for the Thursday hookup dater?
Hell yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hot girls.
Horny guys.
And Rover's hooking them up. It's the Thursday hookup, powered by Miller Lite on Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, we will get started here in just a moment. Hookup potty getting situated here. We will talk to her in just a moment. You'll be able to call in, and she's going to tell you what kind of guy she is looking for. And if you think he would be a good match for her, then we'll send you out on a date. We'll give you dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar, East Bank of the Flats, and a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos. Let's see. Rocky is here. Is that right?
Yep.
Hi, Rocky.
Hey, hi. How are you?
Rocky, that's an unusual name.
Raquel, my nickname's always been
Raquel. Raquel is an unusual name as well. All right, but you like Rocky instead.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm used to.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 36.
And how tall are you?
4'11".
4'11"?
Yes, little but big in character.
Are you technically a midget?
Not unless I was 4'9".
Yeah, 4'9". So you're
just barely
just
over midget status.
Yeah.
4'11". She has dark hair. It's sort of wavy. It's long.
It's curly, yeah.
What color? Brown eyes. Mm-hmm. You look like, what nationality would you say, Dieter, if you had to guess?
Latina?
Yes.
Yes.
And Native American.
So Latina and Native American mixed together.
Yep. Puerto Rican, Mexican, Indian.
Puerto Rican, Mexican, and Indian. Okay. And what do you do for a living?
I'm a server.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long have you been single, Rocky?
Not long enough.
No?
Just about a year for the most part.
What happened a year ago? Why'd you break up?
It was crazy. He was crazy. It was good. It was bad. But...
Every girl that I have, I go, why'd you break up? She goes, that was crazy. I mean, there must be so many crazy relationships.
Yeah, there is.
What was so crazy about it?
everything. Just a lot of drinking, a lot of craziness. I can't even explain it.
He was the one doing a lot of drinking?
Yeah.
Both of you?
Well, we started off both of us when we were getting to know each other, but kept going.
Yeah, okay. So
he stayed on the train.
You pulled it back.
Yeah.
And he just kept it going.
Yes.
And it got, how long were you dating this guy?
Like 3.5 years.
Oh, wow. Long mm-hmm. time. So
yeah.
you just had enough after a while.
Yeah, I think we both did. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Would he get crazy when he was drunk?
Yeah. Butt hurt, crazy, you know, I don't even know. It was a mess.
Was he Puerto Rican too?
He Mexican.
He was Mexican.
100%.
100% Mexican. All right. Here legally.
He was legal. Yeah, he was legal.
Why'd you
follow up with that? Right
yeah,
away?
No, he had papers.
Okay. All right. I mean, when you say 100% Mexican,
right.
I mean,
you wonder.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Like those guys in Louisville that we met, Dieter, they were really drunk. Remember those guys?
Oh, of course.
And they were like, we love you. Even though we're illegal immigrants, we still love you. And
they didn't tell me that part.
Oh, they didn't tell you that? No. Oh, yeah, they're here, all here illegally, Dieter. I was about ready to call INS on them just because they were so drunk. And they told me the same story a million times. I go, call these guys. I got to get these guys deported. All right. So you've been single for, what'd you say, a little over a year now?
About a year, okay. Yeah.
And so what have you been doing for the past year? You've been hooking up with dudes?
No, not at all. I was totally jaded.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You couldn't take it anymore. You go, screw guys. Did you try getting with women? Did you go,
no? I'm strictly...
Starts with a D.
Yeah, the D, yeah.
Okay. And so you haven't been, have you been laid in the past?
Yeah.
Year? Okay.
Yeah.
So you have like a special friend or is this like one night stand?
We had a relapse.
Oh, with that guy?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Same one.
Girls do
that. But
that
was the best part. That's what kept it going.
Yeah. The sex.
Yes, it was amazing.
So you had great sex. Yes. You just couldn't stand
each other.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's so. But you're out. You're searching for something fresh, something new.
According to my girlfriend, I am, yeah. Okay.
What made the sex so great that it would drive you back to the guy even though he was...
It was that good.
What made it so good?
Multiple orgasms in short amount of time. Mm-hmm. You know, just passion. Good
and,
time.
And was he rough or what do you like? How do you
like it all kinds of ways. Yeah, we could be rough. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's fun.
So
yeah.
He was rough toward you. That's what you liked?
We were both rough. You know,
oh,
it was just wild,
rough.
Mad passion.
Animalistic.
Yes, it was all great. Right. And that Latin love, you know, we do got that going for us.
Yeah. Yeah, they're crazy. They're good in bed.
Yes.
They're freaking crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And too crazy is just too crazy.
Yeah, are you, so you're part Puerto Rican. I've heard stories about Puerto Rican women.
Yeah, Puerto Rican women are the cutters, they say.
Yeah,
Mexicans are the crazier ones. Yeah, no, we're great. We cook good. Great lovers, great cooks.
I went to Puerto Rico and I had some sort of food I'd never heard of before, mofongo or something like that. I don't know what the hell that is. That was good, though.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, it was really good. It looked like something. It looked disgusting.
But it was tasty.
Yeah, they bring this out. I go, oh. I don't want to eat that.
Mafarco. Sounds bad.
Then I had it. I go, wow, this is really good. Then I kept ordering every place I went.
You're like, I know what that tastes like. Yeah, good food.
All right. So tell us, what do you like to do for fun?
I love music, so I like going to shows. I like
what kind of music are you into?
I'm into all kinds of music. Reggae, Motown, rap. Old school rap, not into the new stuff at all.
You don't like the mumble rap?
Not at all. No. Nope. Yeah.
Can't understand what the hell these
guys
are doing.
No, I rap in my mom's bathroom rap. No, don't like it.
Okay.
I like indie rock. I like punk. I like all kinds of music.
All right. And what else? So you like music. What else do you like?
I love to be outdoors. I love to go, you know, just kick it in the park, be outside. I like to try everything new, just get out. You know, it's been a while for me, like, getting out, like, that long relationship. You end up being in that and doing nothing. So, you know, just getting out, meeting
people. You cut back on your drinking in this relationship that you had?
Well, when I met him, I was his bartender. First time I ever dated a customer.
Uh-huh.
Never do that again.
You said you'll never do it again.
Never do that again.
That bad experience.
Yeah. You really should keep business and pleasures. Yeah.
All right. So, now, have you... do you like to drink still? Or do
I do. I like to drink. I don't drink all the time, but yeah, I like to drink.
Don't guys hit on you all the time in the bar?
No, because I kind of always went to the watering holes. I like to just go chill, have my drinks.
Yeah.
You know.
What about when you're working, though?
Yeah, for sure.
But you don't want to take any of these customers home?
No.
All right.
Yeah, they end up being, I mean, they're great at the bar. They're great even friends.
Yeah, they're great when they're paying. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when they're tipping, yeah.
What would be a good match for you? What kind of guy are you looking for? Who would be perfect?
Somebody that's laid back, likes to smoke weed.
Okay.
I like to smoke weed.
All right.
How often?
All the time. Yep, every day.
Every day. All right.
Every day. Who's, you know, I'm not into the whole, like,
Would you give up drinking if you could just smoke?
Absolutely. I wouldn't even have to give up drinking. I just like to. So it's a nice time to get out. Drink some
Do you smoke weed and drink simultaneously? Because
I can, but when I'm drunk, no.
That makes me comatose.
Yeah, or if you're drunk, it makes you start spinning. Yeah, but I can do both as long as I'm not, like, lit.
Yeah, that's some of the two worst experiences of drinking have been.
It can be.
I got drunk and then smoked weed, and everyone tells
that's
me
the
that's
worst.
Terrible.
That's the worst.
But it seems like such a good idea when you're drunk. You go, yeah, why not? Let's take this up a notch.
Keep the party
going. Until that room starts spinning. She's and you're like, I'm sorry, Mom. I'll never do it again.
The first time I did that, I was probably 16, I would say. And I remember
we were, we used to drink, this was in Las Vegas, we used to drink out in the desert, or what would happen is at the outskirts of the desert, they would start building homes because Vegas had expanded so much. So there was like a whole like loop of a street, and it was just all homes under construction. So it was abandoned at night. There's nothing other than like the frames of homes. And I just parked in the middle of the street there. We were so dumb, by the way. I mean, I look back at that, and I just think to myself, why would we go there to drink, considering we're parked in the middle of a street? Sure, it's not like a neighborhood it's under construction, but still, like, a cop rolls through there. And who knows? A cop could just drive through there, make sure no one's trying to steal equipment or things like that, right?
Yeah.
Why would we park there?
But there's nobody there. You said it was a completely dead street, just houses, the frames of houses.
Yeah, where else are you going to go? And it's kind of cool.
In the desert, that's what we would do. But then they would fly helicopters around.
Yeah, so you go in houses.
They would see like cars out in the desert. They'd see us, and then, you know, you knew if you saw that helicopter go over, you're like, oh.
We're screwed.
Yeah, and sometimes they would just shine the light on you, and then
would you
really
run?
Well, no, you'd get in your car and you would drive away.
Would they pull you over? They just kind of do a warning.
It depends. Sometimes they would, because depending on the desert, there's only, you know, one way in, one way out on a lot of those streets.
Yeah.
Or they're not even streets, but so yeah, they would just have the cops waiting for you, or you would just try to wait them out. Sometimes I would say probably 80% of the time they'd just shine their light on you, and that was enough when you were 16, 17 to scare you.
Right.
But I remember being in the middle of that street. We're all just standing around. There's probably like 15 cars. And I'm drunk already, and I smoke some weed, which I didn't really smoke much weed. And I would say within like, I don't know, it seemed like 60 seconds, but I'm sure it was probably like 5 minutes. I just remember going, oh, my God. And I'm like, you got to take me home. Like,
I'm done.
Just take
I'm
me
done.
Home right now.
I passed out with my head in the kitty litter box the first time I ever I chugged a 40 of Mickey's. I was 14.
So that was the good stuff.
Yes, the good stuff. Yeah. 40 of Mickey's and a 40 of something else. And we ate Taco Bell, smoked weed, and I woke up with my head at the edge of a kitty litter box.
Isn't that weird how no one drinks 40s once they get past the age of like 19?
I think I stopped at like 15.
I've college. I mean, I 40s. I mean, when was the last time you had a 40?
College. Yeah, right.
In college, it was big, but after, I haven't bought one since.
But it's really a bad idea.
It's terrible idea.
It gets
disgusting.
So
it's like if you bought Mad Dog. Oh, yeah. It's just a terrible idea.
But it's. I mean, this is why you don't have a big jug of beer carrying it around, because it gets warm
and nasty.
It's a dumb idea.
That's why you got to drink it fast, Rover. That's the only thing.
That's what I did. I chugged it. I was going to be cool, you know?
Yeah.
I was hanging out with all the guys.
Did you ever play Edward 40 Hands?
No, I have not.
Edward 40 Hands.
Two 40s to your hands, like duct tape them, and you have to finish it. It's a race to get. So you try to finish one real quick so you have a hand free so you can take a leak or whatever.
Sure.
And then you have the other one you still have to finish. But that was a big game.
I have not tried that one.
Next time we go out on Rolling Glory 1, let's play Edward 40 Hands during the show.
See how that goes.
You've really never heard of it?
No.
I've never actually done it because it just seems like such a terrible idea, because it's
like
80 ounces.
Yeah, 80 ounces really required, too.
And the warmth from your hands.
Honestly, everything that comes in 40s isn't that great.
The warmth from your hands makes the beer hot.
Like pee, basically.
Yes.
Pee. Yeah, it's a really bad. I guess you could, if you're going to play Edward 40 Hands, why not put between your hand and the 40 some sort of insulation, like a koozie?
This is how
an adult thinks about these. A practical solution.
Mature.
That's right. I'm a very mature. I really have a good
plan. The commissioner of Edward 40 Hands has ruled.
All right. So do you like older guys, younger guys, Rocky?
I think I'd have to go with older. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've gone 5 years older. It's not enough.
So older.
Yeah, probably.
Old are you looking for? What would you go up to?
I would go up to like 45.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
Nad, she wants an older guy.
I'm on it.
All right. You're on it.
They're all going to be 22 today.
Exactly.
I don't want him to live at mom's.
All right. If you think you would be a good match for Rocky, give us a call. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. She is 36 years old, 4'11". What do you weigh? I didn't answer
152.
152. She's a server with dark hair, curly hair, brown eyes.
Big boobs.
Big boobs. Oh, yeah. That's like 52 of those 152 yes, pounds are right there in the chest.
There's the 5'2", yeah.
What would you say? 30? Don't tell us.
I'm not.
We'll both guess. Dieter, what do you think?
What's above triple D?
Not that big.
I guess
or G?
It goes to E's and F's. I know that.
Okay, she said it's not that, so she kind of helped. So I'll say triple D.
All right, but what would you, 30, I'm going to say 30, 38 double D is what I'm going to say.
I'll go triple D, 38 triple D.
All right, what are you?
36 D.
36 D?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Wow.
Just a D.
They are massive.
My height's deceiving, makes my boobs bigger.
All right, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. You can see a picture of her at roverradio.com. You can also watch on RMG TV at roverradio.com or with the app on your phone or Apple TV so you can see what she looks like. And we will be right back and take your phone calls, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. We'll be right back. We'll let her talk to you. She'll have some questions for you. And whoever she picks will pay for the two of you to go out on a date. We'll be back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. The studs on the show turn you on too much, and you need new underwear.
All right, I guess I'm known as the guy that wears panties for girls. It's getting me laid.
Dieter can probably help you out. This is Rover's Morning Glory.
All right, Rocky is here this week. Suck up, hottie. She's 36 years old. She's just 4'11". She's 2 inches above midget height, Dieter. She's a server with long, dark, curly hair, brown eyes. You can see pictures of her at roverradio.com, or you can watch on RMG TV, also there on the website, or with the Rover Radio app on your phone or Apple TV. We'll take your phone calls, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. If she picks you for the date, we'll give you dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar, East Bank of the Flats. It's all request dueling piano bar. And we'll give you a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos. 24-hour service. They have various vehicles for you to choose from for whatever you need, for whether it's a wedding, a bachelor party, a concert, prom. I don't know. Whatever the hell you're using limos for. They also have other things like navigators, excursions. They have all of that stuff. SafeandReliableLimos.com. All right, let's take some phone calls for Rocky, 866-967-6837. Raymond, you're on Rover's Morning Glory on the Thursday hookup. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Tell us how old you are.
I'll be 38 next week.
All right, and what do you look like?
I'm 5'8", 168 pounds, full-blooded Italian, stout Jesuit.
Uh-huh. Did he say, how tall is he?
5'8".
5'8". Okay.
168.
168. Okay. And what do you do for a living, Raymond?
I want to be a stuntman for black porn, but I think I'm just going to stick to commercial real estate.
All right. Commercial real estate. Okay. And some joke about black porn. I don't know what that means exactly. All right. Rocky, what do you want to know about Raymond?
All right, Raymond. If Puff Daddy recently changed his name to Brother Love, what would your porn name be?
Tyrone Shoelaces.
Tyrone Shoelaces.
Tyrone Shoelaces.
All right.
Why that?
Like tie your own? Tyrone? Make it tie it hands free. With his unit. Because he's so large. do you watch, Rocky? Do you watch a lot of porn?
I have, yeah.
What are you into? What kind of stuff are you into?
I have to say, even though I like the D, girl on girl is a lot more appealing to me.
Really?
Yeah.
How can you like that, though, if you're not into
lesbian? I don't know. It's just more exciting. You know, a man's body is just...
It's so hairy and
you know, and
lumpy.
It's just got a thing that, you know...
dangly.
Women, you know, curves and...
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know,
I can't watch girl on girl porn.
It's sexier, but
I don't like girl on girl porn because they just look like they'd be so disinterested in me.
Well, I guess like back in the day, like Jenna was my girl. Jenna and Brianne. Yeah, they used to be pretty hot together.
Jenna, what's her face?
Jameson.
Jenna Jameson. Yeah. Brianna Banks?
Brianna Banks. Yep. Yeah. They were pretty good.
All right. What else?
What about Chasey Lane? What about Chasey?
Not so familiar with Chasey
Lane. Oh, she's old school. I mean, she was even before them a little bit. Oh, yeah. She was super hot. Super hot.
I remember.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else do you want to know about Raymond?
If we had $100,000, but we had to spend it in 5 hours, what is the most fun way you could think of?
I would definitely say the Canali store, a Ferrari 458, and a half a key.
Okay. All right. I don't know how you're going to get a Ferrari 458 for $100,000, but maybe you're just renting it for 5 hours.
Yeah, okay.
How would you spend $100,000 in 5 hours, Rocky?
I would probably fly to Jamaica and get real high.
Just get a bunch of weed.
And
okay.
Just chill on the ocean front.
All right. What else do you want to know? One last question for Raymond.
David Blaine asked a girl to service him for only a few seconds. What is your closing line when sliding into home plate?
It's showtime.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hold on, Raymond. Now, all this sexual harassment stuff has been in the news. I'm really getting a kick out of hearing some of these stories. Some of them are bad, and some of them, as a guy, I read and I go, yeah, that's what guys do.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced anything like that in your life?
Sexual harassment?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, yeah. Bartending. I have customers, and then I catch head cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they are doing, but has
they
anyone,
love me.
Have they ever,
they love me.
Like, what's the worst thing that's happened to you?
Somebody grabbed my crotch from behind. Yeah,
oh, really?
Box. Yeah.
Grab him by the pee.
I definitely gave it to him. But.
And what did you do? Did you turn around?
I turned around and I grabbed him by the pee. And I told him, don't touch me. Respect my personal space. You know, it was a regular. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He got too drunk that day. He also liked to smoke rock. So probably a little bit of both.
It was Donald Trump.
He did visit that day. You know, now that I'm looking back on it.
All right. 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837 to hook up with Rocky. She's 36. She's just 4'11". She's a server. You can see pictures of her at roverradio.com. And if she picks you for the date, we'll give you dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar and a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos. Let's go to Tony. You're on Rover's Morning Glory on the Thursday hookup. Good morning, Tony.
Yo, Rover.
Yo, tell us how old you are.
36.
All right. And what do you look like?
6 feet tall, 195 pounds, brown hair, hazel eyes, average build.
All right. What do you do for a living, Tony?
I work in a safety department at a bigger company.
In the safety department, then does that mean what's the safety department exactly?
Taking care of safety equipment, making sure it's in good working condition.
Okay, all
like
right.
Goggles,
like OSHA type stuff.
Things to keep OSHA violations from happening.
All right,
basically keep all people right. from getting injured.
All right, Rocky, what do you want to know about Tony?
All right, Tony. Would you serve 10 years in the prison with the most anal rapes on record, but you get $100 million when you leave?
See, this is a tough one, but I'm going to say no. I got to walk out of there with my pride. I can't do it.
Yeah, right? Money's not worth all that.
But you can risk it just because it's the most common place to get raped. Doesn't mean you're going to get raped, but record show.
Yeah, that's true.
The
doesn't
most
say,
on record.
Doesn't say you have to get raped.
So would you risk it for the 100 mil?
I don't think I would.
I would
I thought you true. Would say yes.
I wouldn't
no,
either.
No. I don't think I. But if you said take it once for $100 million, I go, okay, for $100 million?
Why not go to prison?
Well, who wants to be anally raped over and over and over again?
I mean, after taxes, you're only going to have like $500 million anyway. So, or if you have $50 million,
it's only half a billion dollars.
I mean, that's nothing.
Or, no, I guess it's not half a billion. $500 million. All right, so you'd have $50
million. $50 million, yeah.
What, Charlie?
So there's questions about getting raped in prison? I thought you're going to prison for the most anal rapes of all time.
No. Would you serve 10 years?
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. No, who would go to...
Yeah, I don't think anybody...
No, you would be anal... You're going to a prison known for anal rape.
Yes. Okay. It's the worst one.
On record.
Right. So would you do it, Charlie? You get $100 million when you get out. 10 years.
Oh, you'd have to wear a diaper afterwards.
Yeah.
So you're set for life.
You'd be sharting all the time.
But would you take one... encounter for $100 million?
One.
Nads, would you?
I would do the prison thing. Yeah.
For $100 million, you got the prison for 10 years.
I'm easily prison rapeable.
Yes.
So I'd be a prison bitch. Yeah, I'd be a target.
Uh-huh.
But $100 million, that's a lot of cash.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
But I don't know about that. That's a lot of violating.
I'd do a lot of stuff for money, but getting raped for 10 years straight.
But see, you're not getting
your money would be
straight.
Going
there's
to reconstruction.
You are. Right.
So if you take one look at me. How long would I last in a prison of hardened criminals?
First hour.
Right.
You're getting raped.
I'd probably be raped by the jailers, let alone the prisoners. Yeah. I mean, wow. Okay. So Rocky, you wouldn't. Well, I don't know. Would you do that?
No. You'd have to use most of it to get reconstructive anal surgery, mm-hmm. probably.
Tighten it back up, sew it back up. Now, do you give up backdoor action?
I have.
You have, all
yes,
right.
I
is
have.
It enjoyable for you?
It is.
Oh, she likes it. She's one of those rare
breeds. Not like I'd want to do that with everybody, but yeah, it's
yeah,
good.
But you're okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
That's you like that theater?
Sure.
She's
open.
Yeah, I'm open.
Well, she's 36. She's been, you know, she's experienced. How many 19-year-olds have we had come in here and go, yeah, oh, no, never do that.
Wisdom comes with age.
That's right. That's right. All right. What else do you want to know about Tony?
Okay, Tony, if you could buy any piece of memorabilia from the past, what would you want?
I think I'd have to go with maybe something like Kurt Cobain's guitar. Mm. The big music guy. Especially like some of those grunge bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I listen to some country, older rap, things like that. But I think something like Kurt Cobain's guitar would be
Let me ask you this, Tony. If you had to choose between Kurt Cobain's guitar, you get to own this, you have it, Kurt Cobain's guitar or the shotgun he killed himself with, what do you choose?
I'd pick the guitar. That's got better memory.
You're crazy.
You might get Kurt's spirit
me?
With the
that's,
shotgun.
That's...
Do you want OJ's Heisman or the knife?
Well, the
knife.
I wouldn't want anything
to
OJ.
It'd be the knife. But actually, to keep it, I want the Heisman.
No.
You want the shotgun in his house with the guy, there's blood all over it.
Yeah.
What can you do? Put it in a
You'd
case and go.
You'd probably get Kurt with it.
It's way more valuable than a guitar. It's infinitely more valuable than a guitar. There are a bunch of guitars of his
That's
floating
true.
Around.
Good point.
Not the shotgun that killed him. I'd take the shotgun. All right. What would you choose? One piece of memorabilia.
Probably Bob Marley's guitar.
Okay. All right. What else do you want to know about
Tony? If you had to use a movie to get you and your partner off to a hot start, which movie scene does it for you? And by the way, no pornos.
Yeah, normally I'm watching like comedies and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I do remember a lot of the different Poison Ivy movies. I remember one with like Alyssa Milano in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some pretty steamy scenes in there.
God, I forgot about
Very
those,
true. She
that
was
movie.
Pretty, yeah.
Did they even make more? They made more than one
I think there's
Ivy?
Like five.
Oh, wow. I'm really missing out in life.
Yeah, I missed them all except the first one.
All right. What about you, Rocky? Is there any scene in a movie that does it for you? A regular kind of movie?
I'm trying to think of a movie. I know Jax Teller and Sons of Anarchy did it for me every time, but I don't know about a movie. I can't. One doesn't really come to my mind.
All right. Hold on the line here, Tony. If you think you're a good match for Rocky, who's 36 years old, 4'11". She's a server with dark, curly hair, long. She has brown eyes. and she wants to go out on a date with you, we'll give you dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar on the East Bank of the Flats and a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos. Their website, safeandreliablelimos.com. Give us a call, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. Theater, would you, you'd pick the guitar over the shotgun?
For that case, yeah. All the hits he played on
That's
the guitar.
Crazy. But, see, but it's not the same guitar. I mean, he didn't have one guitar.
See the unplugged.
Yeah, the unplugged would be,
album.
Yeah.
That guitar he played on all the songs.
Yeah.
If I can get that one hang up in my house over the shotgun, because people be like, they come over, they can be insulting, be like,
yeah, like, why
killed himself with that.
Yeah.
My mom's
like, man, you guys are nuts. Really?
To resell it.
Yeah, I don't know about the shotgun myself.
To resell what?
To resell it, I would. But I'm saying for something that I actually want to hang up, I'd rather have his guitar hanging in my house.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Or the O.J. Heisman, the actual murder weapon.
No.
I wouldn't want anything O.J.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
I'm with you, like, to hang up, and I'm going to walk by and see. I wanted the shotgun before, but now I'm thinking about it. It's like hanging up in my living room. I just see this weird gun.
Covered in blood and brain matter.
Well, you don't know if it's covered
up. Yeah, Rover, would you clean it? To his head.
No, you don't clean it.
Okay, so.
Allegedly put a shotgun to his head. You never know.
Yeah, maybe he was killed. Courtney
you don't
did
know.
It. Who knows?
Who knows?
You hear some guys trying to get the pictures to come out, the death photos to prove it was suicide.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, he's suing
Why don't they?
This conspiracy
It'll happen in like 4 years when something else big's coming up, going on, you know?
What about that JFK,
like JFK
stuff?
I was
They release all those and then they go, but just kidding, we're not going to release everything.
How about?
Why not? What are you holding on to?
Don't worry about what we did while we were telling you all about that. You know?
What are they holding on to some 50 years later?
Yeah.
Put it out there.
Yeah, let it be known. Give some people something to hope for, I guess.
Let's go to guy number three, Alan. You're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, Alan.
How you doing, Rover?
I'm doing all right. Tell us how old you are.
I'm 38. Hi, Rocky.
Hi.
What do you look like?
About 5'11", brown hair, brown eyes, about 165, 170 pounds.
Okay.
What ethnicity are you?
I'm Caucasian, but I got some Cherokee Indian, so I think that's brown hair and brown eyes.
All right. And what do you do for a living, Alan?
I'm an investment banker.
Okay. Wow, that sounds impressive, doesn't it? Wow. All right.
Big money.
Hookup's over. She's picking you. Okay. What do you want to know about Alan?
All right, Alan. Most people have pet peeves, but tell me a pet peeve of yours in the bedroom.
I don't like when women are boring. I mean, just regular sex is good, and but I also like, you know, foreplay, oral, switching it up, you know.
He's the one guy that likes foreplay.
Oh, I love foreplay.
Yeah.
He's got all the right answers. My pet peeve is women who don't allow me to go south of the border for long enough. Yeah. I just love doing that so much.
It's so fun.
All right. What about you, Rocky? Do you have a pet peeve?
Constant. Am I doing this right? Is that okay? You know, too many questions. Yeah.
What's the worst sex? He told us about the best
the worst
sex you've ever had. What about the worst? And what made it so bad?
The sex where you're like disappointed after is either that fast or that unsatisfying and it's over before it began.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I got undressed for this.
All right. What else do you want to know about?
What was the worst thing your parents did to you as a child?
I actually had pretty cool parents, but they're very, very honest people, almost brutally honest sometimes.
Uh-huh.
So I try not to, I mean, I'm a very honest person, but I actually, you know, try to at least be, have common courtesy with it, where sometimes they'll say stuff. I just look at them like.
No filter.
Exactly.
Rocky, what about you? What's the worst thing your parents did?
I mean, I left at 12, so they're good.
You left at the age of 12?
Yeah, I pretty much...
Oh, why?
Well, I ran away, and then I was just stayed not
living. Why'd you run away?
Being just defiant and not getting along with my stepdad when I was younger and fighting with my mom and just wanting to do me.
Where do you stay at?
I stayed at friends' houses till my mom, you know, made it so I couldn't anymore. I stayed, like, Random places. I'm surprised they made it through those years.
What does that mean? She called like unruly
charges. One day this officer was like, as long as you press unruly, that's all we could tell you, but it'll add up. Oh, that added up. Yeah, it did. Uh-huh. Then I started to like
They put you in juvie?
Yeah, in and out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
She's got a past. She's
I got some depth. Yeah. But so I was never like
how long were you in juvie for?
Off and on over 3 years. Uh-huh. You know, a couple months. Couple weeks. My judge was awesome, though. He kept saying, "You're smart. What are you doing in front of me?" You know, and I was like, "I just don't want to live at my parents." You know,
but your parents were that bad that you had to get along.
Looking back, probably not that well. I didn't get along with my stepfather, but he's a great man. You know, we're just young kids that didn't want to listen.
Why didn't you get along with him? Is it because he replaced your real father?
I never knew him, so okay. No, not that at all. Just the dynamics, you know.
How old were you when they got together, mom and the stepdad?
4.
Okay, so they're still pretty young.
Yeah, I was young, and I didn't know my dad. My sister's father raised me, which he's a good guy, too. My stepdad's a fantastic person now. You know, it's now that I'm older and I've been through my own situations, you just learn the dynamics of, like, bringing families together. And there is kind of always double standards and, you know, it's a lot
of crazy. She's in juvie, and she likes backdoor theater.
And guess what? I said I'll never go to jail as an adult, and I never have.
No. So what was the most trouble you got in as a kid? Besides
my friend, Chrissy Herbert, who I love you, girl. She said, let's take my grandma's 1978 Cadillac for a ride. Well, we both couldn't even see over the steering wheel, so we drove around the corner and crashed into a porch.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was on probation. So she's like, I was sitting in there, and she's like, well, come on, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm in probation. She's like, let's go. And we were going to cut our hair and, like, Thelma Louise it, but we didn't do that far.
You were a bad child.
I mean, kind of. That was the worst thing I did, but I didn't drink and stuff.
How old were you at that point when you crashed the car?
14. Wow. Yeah.
I did the same thing.
Big old blue Cadillac.
I stole my mom's car, but I didn't. I never crashed it.
Well, she was driving, and obviously she didn't know how. She still rides a bike. Maybe she just didn't ever get to figure it out, but.
All right, one last question here for Alan.
Motley Crue were known for using beer bottles on girls backstage. What items have you been curious about using?
Well, I think I've seen in porn popsicles. So I was always curious, maybe a popsicle.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like it could be very messy, just really sticking all over.
The whole delicious.
I'll clean it up.
All right. You like the foreplay.
Yes. All right. What about you, Rocky? Is there any sort of device or anything that you wanted to try and you haven't?
Well, I haven't tried, although it does look interesting. You know, you see in the like porns those like crazy like drill dildos.
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of look exciting. It looks like it really rocks your world. Yeah.
Like
that looks like that might be fun. You know, within a reasonable size.
She wants the jackhammer dildo, guys.
Some of them go like crazy on the size.
I've heard of the jackrabbit. She wants the jackhammer.
I think, wow, that might be a little intense.
All right. By the way, beer bottles, they were known for that?
Yeah, I was talking to Corey at the board op. Yeah. He's like, the best book I ever read was The Motley Crue. And
he reads this book, whatever Motley Crue book this is.
Oh, no, it's the best book. He's like, you got to read the best book ever.
He's not only read it once, he has, you'd have to ask him. I think he
told us that it's good, huh?
Oh, he's read
I love
like,
Motley Crue.
He's
so
read this book like 20 times.
He has a whole library at his house, and it's just the whole Motley Crue
book.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
No, I think
just the one book over
and over. No, yeah, one book over and over. I think he said 5 or 6 copies of this book.
So beer bottles, huh? Yeah, wonder which end. That makes all the difference.
Well, of the beer bottle?
Yeah.
Well, if you use the open end, I've heard, at least when I was a kid, they would tell this to us in health class.
Yeah.
I don't know how this ever came up in health class, but they said don't use a bottle like that because it will create suction.
Oh.
And it can get like a vacuum seal.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, trying to
in which
rip out her insides, give her a hysterectomy.
Yeah, that would suck.
What, Nance?
I said, in which end will it create that? Both?
You mean the front
door or back door?
I don't know. Yeah. Do you stick it in the back?
Yeah, both.
Door? Yeah,
it could give both. I suppose.
Sounds painful.
Yeah, which one were they warning against?
I think the front.
I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we got that graphic in health class.
Yeah, I've seen a porno where they use it in the backside with champagne.
But
champagne bottle.
Somehow, I must have had like a perverted health teacher. One was a woman that I had. She was really hot. I wonder what happened to her. The other was a guy. But you have to, if you're going to use a something like that or anything that could create the suction, you have to have make sure it has like a little air hole on the other end.
Oh, get out of here, Rover.
I'm just telling
you. Oh, that suction. He's. Like a vent? I mean, I can imagine that's painful.
A vent hole. That's
That'd
right.
be like an ER visit.
Yeah. Just telling
that's
you.
That's a lot
what
of work, man. This guy's a pervert. He's teaching this in class in sixth grade. Like, hey, if you use a beer bottle on a chick, make sure you put a hole in the bottom.
Charlie and I were out in Europe one time, and I think we were in Europe. We were somewhere. I don't know. And we're in a bar, and I get a text message, and I go, whoa. Check this out, and I
remember this text. Show this is my worth phone. Sharing.
Show him my phone, and it's just this girl that I was seeing at the time with a beer bottle.
A lot of it was gone.
Wow.
Too. A lot of it was gone.
How much could you see?
I don't remember, but
half the label was missing. If I remember correctly.
Wow.
Take his word for it. I don't remember, but
stuck in my memory.
He's like, I won't forget
stuck,
that.
Stuck in her too, actually. All right. Let me take a break. We're going to give Rocky a few minutes to think about what guy she's going to pick to take out on the date. We'll give them dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar on the East Bank of the Flats. Book your holiday parties now. It's also a good place for a first date. Visit them on Facebook or at thebigbangbar.com. And we'll give them a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos, 24-hour service, lots of different vehicles. Give them a call, 440-288-LIMO, 440-288-5466, or visit their website, safeandreliablelimos.com. You have a wedding, a bachelor party, a concert, prom, whatever. They can help you out with that. We'll be right back. We'll quickly recap the three guys she talked to and find out who she's going to pick next. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. His wife won't bang him and his kids don't respect him.
Whatever.
It takes a special guy to be Jeffrey LaRoque. This is Rover's Morning Glory.
All right. Let me quickly recap the three guys Rocky talked to. She's going to pick one to take out on the date. We'll pay for the entire thing. Guy number one was Raymond, 38 years old. He works in real estate. He says his porn name would be Tyrone Shoelaces. He would spend $100,000 in 5 hours by getting a half a kilo of coke and a Ferrari. And he says that his closing line when he's getting ready to nail a chick is, it's showtime. Tony is the second guy that she talked to. He's 36. He works in the safety department of a big company. He says he would not spend 10 years in a prison known for its anal rapes if he got $100 million when he left. He would buy Kurt Cobain's guitar if he could have any piece of memorabilia from the past. And he says that some scene in the movie Poison Ivy really got him going. And the third guy that she talked to, Alan, 38 years old. He's an investment banker. He says that a pet peeve of his in the bedroom is not enough foreplay. He loves foreplay.
More kissing.
Yeah, more making out. More sensual talk. He says that the worst thing his parents did as a child was that they had no filter and just said anything. And he would like to try a popsicle on a girl sometime. All right. Rocky, you've had a few minutes to think about what guy you're going to take out on the date.
Yes, I have.
We'll give you the dinner. We'll give you dinner at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar, East Bank of the Flats. And we'll give you a limo for the evening from Safe and Reliable Limos. But before you tell us who you are picking, tell us who you are not picking and why you are not picking that person.
Okay. I am not picking Raymond.
Guy number one.
Guy number one.
Why not?
I don't know about the. It's showtime.
You sound like an oddball. Let's just be honest.
I can't really roll with the half a Kia Coke in the Ferrari, you know.
Or his weird gay.
Yeah, Tyrone porno, shoelaces.
Stuntman.
Yeah. Stuntman. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know. And real estate. It's not really my thing. Okay. I like a hard work guy gets dirty.
All right. So that leaves it between guy number two, Tony, and guy number three, Alan. Who are you not picking and why?
I am not picking Alan.
You're not picking guy number three, the investment banker. All right. No. Why not? He doesn't get dirty enough?
If the worst thing that happened to him was his parents having no filter, I don't have a filter either. So it might be traumatic. But I don't know.
And your childhood was crazy.
It was totally crazy. So I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And not enough foreplay. Yeah, I mean, foreplay's good. But it's
overrated,
you just
right?
Get yeah. Down get, to
yes, that's yeah. right. That means she's picking guy number two.
Yes.
Tony. All right.
Tony it is.
All right. And what did you like about him?
Well, I liked his voice. I liked that he is into Kurt Cobain or alternative music. And I liked really that voice, the way he sounded.
The voice. Mm-hmm. She loves the voice.
Yeah.
Okay. Rocky, good luck on your date.
Thanks.
Let us know how it turns out.
I will, and thanks,
guys. I
hope
everything goes all right.
Thank you so much for having me on here today.
Thank you. All righty. Ladies, if you want to get on the Thursday hookup, go to roverradio.com, and on the main menu where it says the show, under there is a link to get on the Thursday hookup. Fill that out. Maybe you can come into the studio and talk to guys and pick one to take out on a date, and I will pay for the entire thing. That's at roverradio.com. Ladies, sign up. We'd love to have you on the Thursday hookup. People have been trying to get Doogie to come and be on the Thursday hookup. She refuses. People are telling her that all the time. Put her on the hookup, but she doesn't want to go.
One person has said that.
No, I just had an email the other day, Doogie. That makes
sense.
Oh, about
Doogie being on the hookup?
Yeah, people say that all the time.
That's every time we do the hookup, about 10 people call, and throughout the week, I'd say one per day calls.
Mm-hmm. So why not? She's not interested, though. She's not interested. All right, Doogie, are you ready for the shizzy?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Hit a shizzy on Rover's Morning Glory.
Dieter, I know that you look at death videos and pretty graphic videos.
Oh, nonstop. This guy, I've never seen anyone so obsessed with
this. And Rover. Watches all the same ones. I bring them right up to you. You're like, I already seen
that's
it.
That's not true.
You watch those ISIS ones. They're even worse.
No, I don't. Dieter every day is looking at these death websites, seeing people mangled, seeing people murdered, seeing people beheaded, seeing, whatever. You have a fascination with that.
With blood. With blood.
I don't know if it's with blood. I don't think that's the fascination.
Well, has anyone seen or tried to find video of Sunday's horrific church shooting?
Oh, that's going to be under lock and key. That's not getting out.
Apparently, it surfaced. According to a law enforcement official briefed on the investigation, the recording shows the gunman methodically executing churchgoers, including the small children and the elderly, by shooting them in the head.
No way. When you say it surfaced, it means the police have it. It hasn't surfaced
out there.
Out in the public.
Okay. Officials estimate that the worst mass shooting in the history of Texas lasted for 7 minutes.
Yeah, I heard that the other day that they do have, they used to stream this online or post videos. I mean, I don't know if they streamed it live, but they would post their sermons on YouTube and stuff. And they do indeed have video from inside of this church.
Man.
They have this on film.
So you don't think that
Dieter, you'd be searching for that, wouldn't you?
Well, I just looked. They don't have it.
Kansas, what?
How do you know? Are all the death sites, they compete for the most grisly and gruesome stuff, or do they have all the same stuff?
You say all the same. So you go to one, it's not at the top or the first page, nobody has it. Because they all copy off each other and want to have the best videos.
What's the big one right now?
Best video?
Yeah, is there like something very popular in your world of death porn?
Workshop operator crushed in a hydraulic machine. That's the top video today.
All right.
You could play it tomorrow for the leftovers.
No.
Jeez, this guy.
No.
Have you ever seen anyone so fascinated with this stuff?
such exaggerated. You did the same things.
No, it's not an exaggeration.
Videos.
Every day.
If
no,
it comes up in the news and it seems important, I'll watch it. And I guess I used to watch it more when I was like 25 because it was news. Like, you'd never seen. It wasn't so available before. And you're like, wow, there's sites dedicated to death. And you'd look at it. I looked at like five or something. I'm like, I don't know. This is. It's real sick. And it, like, bums me out for the entire day.
Dieter's trying to make it like, no, Rover, you're the same way. Every day you're looking at these sites, Dieter. You are watching this every single day. I might watch this once every 3 months.
Lie.
That's not a
lie. Every time there's an ISIS video, you go, have you seen the ISIS video?
No.
I go, no, I don't watch those.
I can't tell you the last ISIS video I've watched.
That cage one, you, like, saw it before I even watched it. They put a guy in a cage and they burn him alive.
It was 2 years ago. Okay.
So that's one example.
And it was a huge news story.
But I wouldn't even watch that because I can't stand ISIS. But you always watch them before me. So you're worse than me. I just watch accidents and stuff so I know not to get stuck in a hydraulic machine, what not to do.
Don't you know that without having to see it?
No, this guy's a dumbass. He's laying like a piece of carpet down and the hydraulic machine comes down on top of him. Shouldn't you have eyes in the back of your head?
Well,
if you're working in a hydraulic machine, I mean, that's right there. I just learned something today.
Okay. All right. No, he has an obsession with this. I mean, just it's every day.
I just
right?
watched the hydraulic thing. It's disgusting.
Now, here we go.
What is
oh,
it?
Why'd you click on the link? You're disgusting.
Because we're talking about it, and it opened, and now I looked at it. It was gross. The guy gets squished.
And every time we talk about this, people email me, what's the site? People love this stuff. Gore.
Sick
people
weirdos.
Sick. Yeah, there's a lot of sick people in the world.
What'd you see?
The guy's putting a piece of carpet down on a hydraulic machine. It's a huge hydraulic press. Like, it could fit like a coffin in it. I mean, it's massive. It's huge. It's and he's in there. He's putting a carpet down, and it crushes him.
What do you mean he's putting a carpet down? Like,
I don't know.
Like,
he's putting something in this hydraulic press.
Is it supposed to do something to the carpet, or is he just putting it at
it for 4 seconds.
Fascinated by this stuff.
Does the press squish him?
Yes.
Guts come out.
Look how fascinated you guys are by this stuff.
Yes,
he gets squished.
Yes, you do. Why are you asking all these questions?
How fast does the press come down? Is it
how much blood? Does
it
slow?
I'll give you from when it starts.
Uh-huh. Okay, walk us through.
He's in there. It starts. He's now getting crushed.
Slowly crushed.
Still, now he's dead. Now he's completely smushed. So 5 seconds.
Any blood?
Not that I'm seeing.
Did he scream?
I don't think there's any audio. No,
Is his friend at fault? Are you watching the friend? His friend turns it on too early.
Turns it on, and he's bent over trying to lay something down in it. I don't know if it's some sort of padding for the hydraulic press, and he's squished. And,
now you got to.
What's the video from? Like a surveillance video or something?
Well, now you got to watch it.
Oh
Robert.
Yeah, and I'm obsessed.
Is it surveillance video?
Yeah, what's the link?
It looks like surveillance video.
What's
from
the
China
link? Can you something send me the link?
Send it to Rover. Watch it.
China has all sorts of weird stuff that happens in China.
Well, I think this stuff happens everywhere. They just leak their stuff.
Yeah.
Watch it.
This is sick.
You can just send it. Did you?
It's
send
not
it
as gross as most of them because there's not like blood.
And you guts just all spread out all over.
It's
the
over
place
pretty quick.
Mm. All right, you got it. Put it. Play
just
it.
Flattened out.
Alert! Warning!
I'm not going to play it just because I'm proving a point here. I'm not obsessed with this like Dieter is.
No. Obsessed? You just asked 1,000
yeah
questions.
Anybody listening right now goes, Rover is losing his mind. He has 20 questions.
Now I want to see
Dieter
it
said one thing about it.
If there's something that is a big story in the news,
you search it out.
Sometimes I'll watch that if it's a big story so I get a handle on what actually happened. But
that's right.
You're going every day. Every day you are on these death sites.
For the news. For the, if it
no,
comes
it's
up
not
in the
for
topic
the news. No, it's
yes. Robert, you just played the Roy Holiday crash video. Why'd you play that?
He didn't actually crash in the video, and it is completely relevant to a big news story.
You didn't have to play that. You could just say, oh, he went down, and you're obsessed with these, right, any kind of death.
What's the last one you watched?
He's really sensitive about this, isn't he? I mean, he's really.
For a guy that watches blood all day, you're really sensitive.
I know. But Robert, see, you're being a hypocrite. You're asking 20 questions
you
to Charlie.
You did ask 20 questions.
Okay, so if I ask questions about something that we're talking about on the show, am I going to sites seeking this out? No, I'm not.
So you don't see you're worse off by asking him all those questions.
Okay,
you
here's another example. If you're watching porno every day,
yeah,
and I watch porno once every 3 months, am I obsessed? Who's obsessed with porno?
But if you start asking me about what porno I watched in detail and how long they were pounding out for, It seems like you really want to watch it.
You guys are talking about this story. I'm trying to get the details of it.
Quit wrapping me up in your guys' obsession. You two are obsessed with this stuff.
All Dieter watched it, then you watched it, and then you guys are talking about it together. Right, and I'm trying to paint the picture for our audience.
We could all just watch it and been done with it, Rover.
Well, I'm not a cool.
The last one I watched was the cartel chainsawing a guy's head off.
Oh, what? The neck.
I don't know how long ago that was.
Why would you watch
that? That was brutal.
How was the guy seated? Like, was he up, down?
Oh, there was seven guys in a line on their knees, and a guy just went by with a chainsaw, just nicking their necks, and just...
chainsawing their head completely off.
Right? Off, I think. I don't remember.
I don't
know.
It was gross.
No,
and then
I think
the other
just
one
cut
that was
the front, so they would gush out blood.
Real gross. It bothered me, and this is when I said I'm never watching stuff like this again. Is that girl crashed her Porsche? She was driving her Porsche. I think she was high. I don't know if you even remember this.
She
drives through
story,
like a toll booth or something.
Oh yeah.
And her head just flies off. Yeah. I don't even know if there's video. I think there's just pictures.
Just the pictures of that.
That was
enough.
Bad.
That was enough.
The hair.
Well, I remember that story. I think they did it. I don't know if it was on 60 Minutes or one of these shows, but the father of that girl was going public because he was talking about how painful it is that people are just
looking at,
like,
that.
Just clicking through it, like, oh, what deaths can I look at today? And they'd look at her,
right,
and go on with their day.
That's a graphic one. Kansas City Royals manager Ned Yost remains hospitalized after he fell. Where did he fall? Well, he was trying to repair a tree stand on his property in Georgia, and he broke his pelvis in that fall from a tree. Mm. That's got to hurt. So he's laid up for a while.
Deer everywhere are laughing at him because I'm sure that's what he was getting up in that tree stand was to go shoot some animals.
I saw another story, a local story. They're trying to track this poor deer that's got one of those. It might be the deer. He's got one of those damn orange pumpkins on his Halloween plastic pumpkin stuff.
We did the story.
It's
the
a
show.
Local story. And they played.
One?
Yes, they played the story that we did last week of a poor deer that they tracked and then they caught and they captured and then they flipped the pumpkin off. But these deer, they'll die because they can't eat, they can't drink. So they're trying to track this local one. And on the news this morning, they're like, be careful if you do try to help this deer, the hooves.
Well, he's going to kick you.
Yeah.
So you gotta get in front of it. How's he gonna kick you in the front? I guess I can
he's
go.
Stand up in boxes.
Oh yeah. Can't see you.
That one video, that guy getting beat up by the deer was standing up and hitting him, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was boxing it.
Yeah, it's on the street.
No, the guy in the woods.
He's in the woods.
Oh, he's in the woods. I thought he was on the street.
That's a terrible video too.
No, when it's in the woods and he tries to like box him and like bob and the deer just jabs him.
I thought he was like in a front yard.
This one is the woods I'm thinking of.
And the deer, and they were like, oh, look at this deer walking down the street. And then they went up, and the deer, like,
I think this is the famous one. I just sent it to you. It's a hunter. Yeah, he stands up and just starts beating the crap out of him.
Let me see.
The title says beats him to death. I don't know if that's possible. Is it true?
Probably not.
Yeah, this is the one. See?
Crushing that guy.
I love that. That's great, though. This deer's, like, he's going after this hunter. This hunter is there to kill the deer, and this deer is like, you know what?
F you.
Yeah, screw you. There was, I think this is the guy who actually... Isn't this the guy right here? Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta stop that sound effect. This is the guy who got beat up, so I'm going to be beaten to death. Yeah, that's the guy. So
he survived it.
He's doing
an
interview.
The camera guy doesn't help at all. He just really zooms in. He loves this.
He's got horn or antlers. You get too close, he'll stab you. Look at this.
I love it, though.
Oh my God.
Good for the deer. Man.
Did you guys hear the story about this 94-year-old woman who was kidnapped and put in the trunk of her car? Then the kidnapper went to the mall, and she was trapped inside, but she was able to free herself from that damn trunk.
What, did she push the button?
Don't they all have a trunk?
Do they? I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. Now. Mm-hmm. But back then, they didn't.
In this story, they said the investigation's still in the early stages. They don't know how she freed herself from the trunk. And I don't think
Why
I'd be
would
able
you abduct
to get...
The story doesn't make any sense. Why would you abduct a woman and then go to the mall?
A 94-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Well, to use her credit card,
robbed
maybe?
Her, right, and then went, took her to the mall while she's in the trunk, but she was able to get out.
Oh, they have more. I mean, it's a home invasion. They, yeah. they have the whole, she hasn't read the.
No, the complex, I just said that. He went to her house, kidnapped her, robbed her, went to the mall. They believe that he lives in the same complex as her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got it. But how did she get out? Does it say that? My story doesn't say how she got out.
I don't know. She was just able to free herself.
Oh, well, you don't know all the details. You didn't read the whole thing. Canada decides the F word is not taboo for...
Why do you think that the guy lives in the same complex?
They're trying to figure out if he lived, if he knew the girl, the
old
lady.
Well, there's a story that says... there is a line in the story here that says Brian Szczypek, who lives in the same complex as the victim, but he's just a witness. Like they interviewed him on the news.
Do they know each other? That's what they're investigating. How does this man know this 94-year-old? So I don't know who Brian Szczypek
doesn't say is. Doesn't say anything
okay,
at all.
Whatever. In Canada, I could say
I saw
F
that
you.
One line. She no. took that. She's like, I think the guy lived in the same complex. Yeah. You're going to kidnap
in
someone
Canada,
that lives in your same apartment
if
complex.
If I were on the radio, I would be able to say F you, but the whole word. They're
oh, yeah?
allowing you, yeah.
That'd be great here.
Yeah, the Canadian Broadcasting Standards Council, they previously classified the word as being suitable only for adults in both French and English, banning its use on the radio and television to beyond the evening hours.
Uh-huh.
Well, they said that you can say it.
Now you can say this during the day.
It is Thursday night. We have football tonight. The Cardinals are hosting the Seahawks.
What do you think about Bob Costas? He says that football is almost doomed now because of brain injuries, and he says the sport's going to die.
I don't think it's going to die. It's still the most popular sport.
Is it?
But it's on the decline. It was on the decline even before the national anthem protests.
Because of the CTE stuff?
Yeah, because of the brain injury stuff. So
it will rebound. This is it's kind of going downhill, and they're trying to change the game, make it safer, which I think is horrible. But watch, it will rebound, Rover. I guarantee it.
All right, I
maybe have to get rid of Roger Goodell. I don't know.
I think they just signed a new contract with him, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, but maybe if, you know, stuff can happen.
And finally,
taken out.
Jennifer Aniston hasn't had a regular role on TV since Friends ended. That was 13 years ago, but that's about to change because Apple, they just picked up a new drama starring Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. It's about the anchors of a morning show, and parts of it will be loosely based on a book called Top of the Morning, Inside the Cutthroat World of Morning TV. Early development, so no word on any other casting or when it might premiere.
Well, you said that Apple picked this up.
Correct.
For what? Where are they going to show this? On Apple TV? Are they starting? I mean,
maybe Apple TV's starting to, like Netflix.
Yeah, are they doing their own original programming?
Netflix is doing it. Right. And they're making
who would you
money
pick?
Off it.
Aniston or Reese Witherspoon?
Aniston. Well,
Aniston.
Aniston is quite a bit older than Reese Witherspoon, though, now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got to be.
What's the age of Jennifer Aniston right now?
She's my age? Older?
55?
No. She might be like four. She's older than me. She might be 49?
She's 48.
Okay. And Reese is what, 42? Your
know.
Age, Rover?
I'm going to look this up here.
Reese is 41.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston is more attractive than Reese Witherspoon.
They're both
Reese
hot.
Has a big forehead. When you say they're both hot, I mean, I'd say Reese Witherspoon is she's good looking. I wouldn't classify her as hot. And Jennifer Aniston, she's kind of, I don't mean to sound bad, but some of these pictures that I'm looking at, she's like, you know, she's getting to that age here where she's getting, you know.
Dude, she's just making a face. What?
Getting a little bit older, you know? I mean, just
right. God, you're so obnoxious. That's the Shizzy and Rover's Morning Glory.
People have called Rover a lot of things.
Rover, you suck. Rover, you're bald. Rover.
It all starts by calling the show. 1-866-YO-ROVER.
Rover, you sound too nasally.
That's 1-866-967-6837.
You know, We still have those cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
How many cupcakes are left right there? Nine?
Nine delicious gourmet cupcakes.
There were 12.
Yeah, there are nine cupcakes.
Three are gone. How many? Who ate what?
I just ate lunch.
I ate two yesterday, and Jeffrey had one. What are you saying? You just ate? It's 9 o'clock in the morning. That's you just ate lunch?
That's lunch for us.
It is?
Somebody else, if they go to work at 9, they'd eat 3 hours later. We start the show at 6, I eat 3 hours later usually.
So you're saying you can't eat the cupcakes?
Who said $500 you could eat the 9 cupcakes? $500.
You guys really want to see it that bad just to destroy my whole day?
I got to thinking about it last night. I go, but I don't think I want to pay $500 for
that. I just threw that out there. Charlie came in the office and goes, what would it take if you ate these whole things? And I go, $500 it would take because I'm not a fan of.
So you're saying $50? You just threw that number out there.
I threw out $500 was the original thing.
Well, we had 12 cupcakes yesterday that were brought in by the place that's doing the Jeffrey's wedding cake for Holy Moses Matrimony.
Yes, the white flour cake.
And I ate one. Oh my God, this was the best cupcake. It's delicious. And if so good, I had to eat another one. I talked to B2 last night. I go, you know, Dieter was talking about whether he could eat these cupcakes. He doesn't think. I go, I wonder how many, you know, there's 9 cupcakes left. I wonder if I could do that. She goes, oh, yeah, you could do that.
Easily.
You could easily.
Yeah, I go, I don't know if I could do that. She's like, no, trust me. You could eat those 9 cupcakes easily.
I think I could easily, without thinking, eat 4.
Oh, God.
Like, without thinking about it, without even trying to do it. Like,
wouldn't
just
even upset you.
What span of time?
Oh, I'm just saying one sitting, just 4 cupcakes just sitting there. And is Dieter almost tricking us into paying him to eat cupcakes at this point?
Then don't even do it. I don't want to do it.
I'm not scam.
I'm just not a fan of sweets. You guys never see me eat sweets. I'm not trying to be cool. I just don't like cake or like the fluffiness of stuff. So let's just skip over it.
You're trying to weasel out of this now.
No, you don't understand. Like, I'm tricking you for the money. This was just in the office in passing. Charlie goes, would you eat these? Because
I've never seen you eat anything sweet in my entire life.
Never.
And I was trying to think yesterday, the most I've ever seen you eat is like if we're eating barbecue somewhere, you have barbecue sauce. That's the most sugary thing I've ever seen you eat ever.
Because it's on meat. And I'll have ice cream once in a while. I'm just not like when I have a birthday party or my family, they always cut up watermelon or fruit salad for me because I just don't like cake. I don't know why. Now, ever since I was a kid.
What should we? Should he eat at least one cupcake just to make him eat a cupcake?
I got out the money.
Oh, you got the money.
Right.
Oh,
right.
The money.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. All right.
100 per cupcake?
What?
No. It's $500 for the entire thing. And Rover, you said you're going to pay the 4, and I was going to pay the 1.
Uh-huh.
Are you backing out
How
now?
About we pay him $400 and he eats 8? Because I might want to eat one more before he
eats all. Yeah, okay. Why don't you split it with me?
Can
that's a $100 cupcake.
No. It's $100 from you and $300 from me.
I want to eat one.
Let me take a break. Let me see what
Chris Matthews
I can come up
next.
With. Oh, Chris Matthews is coming
up. During him.
Yeah.
That's why I'm. No, this is.
Maybe we'll do 10 o'clock hour then. Give Dieter a little time to digest his lunch that he just had at 9 o'clock. Yeah.
For some fluffy stuff.
This is like the most I've ever seen you try to back out of something ever.
I don't want to do it because I know the whole day I'm going to be on the toilet and puking.
Is it just because it's ruining your diet?
Well, that too. I just don't like, I'm not a fan.
Uh-huh.
If it was 100 cookies, I'd be like.
Or maybe we should just have him. What if we just have him? Can they bake us 12 more and bring them tomorrow, and he can eat them during
cupcakes.
The show?
I can ask him.
No, I'm not doing that. Wait, okay. It was not. The agreement was 9.
It was for the whole thing. No, it was the whole thing. The original agreement was in the back office. And Charlie said, how much would it take to get you to eat all of those? It was a full thing of cupcakes, and you said $500.
And then I thought one was missing already, and Jeffrey already ate one.
No.
Fresh box.
All right, let me take a break. Chris Matthews from MSNBC is on. See if they'll bake us another 12.
You know what? No, because they're going to put laxative in it.
No, they're
going to mess with
me,
right? Yes, because he's
going to
They want to get. They want to get bad publicity by having
to make me sick.
Oh, get out of here. No. See if they'll bake another 12. Bring them in tomorrow. All right, we'll be right back on Rover's Morning Glory with Chris Matthews. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
Dieter the only man to get waterboarded with cheap whiskey and then ask for more.
Oh, my eyes.
Let's go again.
This is Rofer's Morning Glory.
Chris Matthews, you know him from Hardball on MSNBC. He's going to be on the show in just a moment. What a great time to be in the news business. You have so much to talk about.
Every day.
If you're in politics, you know, right. it's just endless supply of material to talk about. He'll be on the show with us. He has a book out. It's about Bobby Kennedy.
Is Chris Matthews considered fake news?
Of course.
I don't know. I don't know who all is.
MSNBC is considered fake news. For some reason, Trump goes after CNN more than he does MSNBC. Now, MSNBC is very left-leaning.
Lean forward or whatever they're...
Yeah, whatever they're... I don't know if they... I don't think they still use that slogan.
Okay, but they're super left.
But he's been all bent out of shape about CNN for a long time.
I think Fox and Friends is really the only non-fake news.
That's right. That's right, yeah. The one out.
Not even the whole Fox station, I think. Well,
no, because Shepard Smith. Shepard Smith is, you know, he's like a news guy. He's not pro-Donald Trump.
No, he's fake news, too.
But Hannity and Fox and Friends.
That's the real stuff.
And that's not news. That's commentary, by the way. For anyone who doesn't realize this, that's commentary. It's not news.
Like Rachel Maddow, I wouldn't consider news.
It's commentary.
What's Chris Matthews, though?
Commentary.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all political commentary. It's not hard news. There's
Anderson
a distinction
Cooper?
There.
Is he news?
Yes, that's news. I would... Well, geez.
He's kind of a mix.
That's a good
question.
They have
a lot of people talking.
As a panelist. He has panelists a lot, but he... That's a good question.
Jake Tapper,
news, I guess.
He goes after Trump sometimes, though. I mean, he almost has a vendetta sometimes.
The line is blurry now. Yeah. And really, the line has further blurred over the past year because where if you're doing the news and you try to play middle of the road straight... How long can you put up with that? I mean, you do at some point have to report the facts. And the facts of the matter are this is bizarre things and times that are happening right now. And how do you not call these things out? All of the inconsistencies, the hypocrisy, the, you know, it's too soon to talk about. Any mass shooting, oh, it's too soon to talk about that. I mean, he was offended. You heard that. He was offended when someone asked him about extreme vetting for getting a gun. Oh, that's...
No.
Wow, you're really going to ask that question? It's too soon to ask that question, what just happened in Texas.
Do you think he was...
Yeah, terrorism, it's immediately discussed.
I mean, he was in South Korea, right in Seoul.
Yeah.
That's close to North Korea.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any, like, major concern?
Well, he didn't go to that thing.
He tried to go to the DMZ.
We
and
did?
The South Korean president made it. They were going to do a photo op there at the DMZ. South Korean president made it, but they had to turn Marine One, the helicopter, around because of bad weather. So he didn't make it out
there.
Yeah,
but even
total failure.
Even being in Seoul is very close.
30 miles or so from North Korea? What do you think there? Worried about them raining down artillery?
Yeah, just going for it.
I
don't know. This guy's not Trump. The Kim Jong-un's nuts.
I'm glad that you clarified because sometimes you don't know who.
No,
when you
just
say, that guy's
sure.
crazy. Who?
Not saying anything bad about Trump here. No, I'm saying Kim Jong-un's nuts. If I was the president, I don't think I'd be anywhere close to South Korea.
Well, I'm guessing that they probably have, obviously, the maximum amount of security available there. They have, it's more artillery, I think, is the... Look, they do have nuclear weapons. I don't know how you would launch those. Like, what would the time be? I get it, but most nuclear weapons, they have to go up, and then, you know, they're...
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I don't know how they would do that from to Seoul, exactly. But anyhow, Chris Matthews is the host of Hardball on MSNBC. He has a new book out. It's called Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit. He has a crush on the Kennedys. Let's just be honest. Chris Matthews, he loves the Kennedys, and he can't get enough of them, right, Chris? Good morning. How are you, my man?
Well, that's true in terms of interest, but this book.
book has got a lot of stuff in it, a lot of it, about the gangster era, fighting the gangsters, dealing with the gangsters, dealing with Giancana, the Godfather, and the McCarthy stuff. There's a lot of stuff in this book that's very real, and I am fascinated with it.
How is he, you know, the part of this book is really sort of, you know, I guess, saying we don't have these kinds of politicians these days. And I'm a younger guy. I don't know. You know, Bobby Kennedy was killed before I was alive. Right. And so I don't know as much about, you know, we know his brother, JFK. We know more about, or I know more about him. But what was different about politicians back then, Chris?
Well, I'll tell you about this one. When he died, just look at the pictures on the book. I hope you got an actual copy of the book. Pictures of the white, poor, really dirt poor family saluting him as his train goes by. There was a lot of those pictures of white people who still had their faith in the Democratic Party and the Kennedys in a kind of a gut patriotic way. It wasn't just politics. I mean, that salute meant something. And the same with blacks. You look at the singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic to the train as it goes by, spontaneously, 10,000 people in Baltimore. That kind of deep gut connection, patriotic connection with a leader, it's gone. It's gone. It's always Black Lives versus the police, or it's the statues against whoever, or it's the bathroom fights. Everything is splitting people up on these issues that really aren't really important about economic issues, but everybody's fighting with each other, especially among, I guess you'd say, working people or even poor people. They're dividing on issues that really, well, they should probably be agreeing on things.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of the things we focus on, the NFL protests, that's all hogwash. That is completely inconsequential. It means zero to this country, to the United States of America. In the grand scheme of things, to focus 1 second on that, if you're a politician or you're the president of the United States, it's a waste of time.
It's schoolyard. It's what we had in schoolyard. You want to fight who's moose? Remember, we had a tough bunch of kids in downtown Philly moved up to our neighborhood. They all come in, and they would go around the schoolyard at St. Christopher's and say, and all you had to do was say, who's moose? And it'd drag you before this guy, who was a guy named Moose. And so, in other words, if you want a schoolyard fight, it's easy.
Yeah.
Get one. Just cook it up.
Did you get in a lot of fights, Chris, when you were a kid?
I had my face smashed in when I was racing. But I did grab some kid 2 years older than me. I was in third and he was in fifth. I got him behind the back. I probably would have choked him to death. Not really, but I think he thought so. And next time we squared off against each other, he was pretty wary of me.
Yeah.
That was my proudest moment of my life.
Chris Matthews is on with us.
My kid was younger than me, but he had 40 pounds on me. But, you know, physicality in school was real in those days. You really did. The pecking order was toughness. It definitely was.
Sure. We spent a whole show talking about this yesterday, about bullies in school, and parents were calling in, what do you do if your kid's being bullied? And you know,
we didn't have parents doing that.
Well, I had a single mother. I had a single mother, Chris, and so my mom was 17 when she had me, and when I was, you know, she would always tell me, oh, you know, just tell the teacher, turn the other cheek, don't fight back. It turned me into, on this show, we maybe are a little more loose with our language than on MSNBC, but it turned me into, the P word, as Donald would say, grab him by the P. And I wish that I had a father around that would have toughened me up a little bit, I think. Anyhow, let's not get off track here. Is this, when you go into work at MSNBC, Chris? First of all, I don't even know how you have time to write a book and do all of that because you seem like a busy guy.
See yourself. That's what you do.
When you go in there.
Gain weight. I'll tell you one thing you do is you gain weight when you do it.
Why is that?
Because all you're doing is, you know, trying to keep yourself awake. And, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you get up early, it's kind of tough. And then get somebody to go get you a donut. And it doesn't exactly make you healthy. But then staying up till you could fall asleep. That's another weekends where you should be with your wife and kids. Even your grandkids, you're working on a book.
Sure.
It's tough. It's not a good thing in many other ways, but I'm glad I wrote this one.
Do you, when you go in, do you feel invigorated just because we're living in such crazy times? And forget, putting politics aside, we know that Chris Matthews is left-leaning. Everyone gets that.
Leaning, I'll give you that.
But I get
people around me a lot more left than I am. I got to tell you, more, definitely more left than me. But I'm
a lot of your coworkers, Rachel Maddow, very left.
I'll give that, and I also think I've been pretty consistently center left on issues like the war in Iraq, about things like voting rights. I'm also kind of old school about it, building up the country. I want to build rail across this country. I want the Democrats to go out and borrow the money and build something real with labor unions all getting jobs and putting this country back to business again. And I think they're too squeamish to do that anymore. They just sit and whine about tax bills they don't like. What are they for? And I think they've gotten scared, but they may win the next election just by being not Trump. And that's probably not that useful. But
you've been involved in politics for many, many years. Have you ever seen the level of divisiveness? As I told you, I was, 42, I guess. I've never seen anything like the era that we're living in right now of
Trumpism.
How about
your family? My family's about split. My family, if I think of cousins, because I had my nephew here last week, and he was close to everybody back in Philly. We've got our breakout is pretty interesting. My brothers, there's five of us. Two of us went for Hillary. Three went for Trump. One was an easy Trump. The other one was two were easy Trump. One surprised me. And then sisters-in-law for Trump hated Hillary. That surprised me. And then Claire Kennedy, my sister-in-law, just blew me away when she said how much she hated Hillary Clinton on the phone right before the election. And then my cousins over in Jersey, they are definitely for Trump. But you know what? I don't know about our family. We don't talk politics like that. Everybody knows there's a difference, and we just don't bring it up.
Yeah.
No, sensitive.
You said recently that Joe Biden is going to run for president. You're 100% sure. How do you know?
No, he's running.
How do you know?
I know. Just take my word for it.
Did he tell you, or someone close to him told you?
Yeah.
And do you think he has a shot?
Very close. Very close.
Does he have a shot?
Well, I think the Democratic Party is leaning left right now. I think they're looking for somebody on the left. I'm not sure that's the smart move, but I'm saying that's the move.
Yeah.
And I think, Elizabeth Warren will probably run. If she runs, she'll be tough. You know, Kamala Harris out in California, I think, is going to run. But they're all going to run left. They're all going to say they're for single payer. They're for Medicare for life. They're going to sign their oath to that. That's going to put them in a corner politically, but I think they'll do it. Biden may be the odd man out because he may say, I'm not going over that far left. But I don't know. He may be weak and go along with it. If he goes along with that stuff, I think he's making a mistake. I think Biden would be smart. I don't know if this is doable, but, you know, it all comes down to the same old, same old. You got to win in Iowa. You got to win in New Hampshire. You got to win in South Carolina. And you got to win in California now that they moved that up. You can't talk about winning. You have to begin to win and keep winning. Mm. And if you don't win those early contests, you're not in the game. And that's what we've seen. There's two tickets or three tickets out of Iowa. Then there's like two tickets out of New Hampshire, maybe a total of two coming all. You can still survive if you're still in the race by South Carolina. You know, maybe California's going to change that, but I think it's very hard to win without winning early. And so it's going to be probably somebody on the left winning in Iowa. If it's Elizabeth Warren, she wins in Iowa, then she's definitely going to win in New Hampshire. It's tough. It's going to be very tough to beat her if she runs.
Yeah, there are not a lot of politicians these days that are, like you said, it's very, you know, way to the left, way to the right. What do you think about about Kasich and maybe hooking up? He's a Republican. There's been, I don't know if they'd actually do this, but a split ticket, a Republican
great,
and Democrat pair.
Who nominates them?
And who pays for it? I mean, it costs a lot of money.
You know,
look,
we learned a powerful lesson last year with Trump winning, and that's that Trump understood it, which is everything else is BS except you have 270 electoral votes. And it doesn't matter where you get them. You can ignore California, ignore New York. Just go get them in the middle of the country, and you win. And it's over. You can talk all you want. It's not based on how many hits you got. It's how many runs you got. And if you can't win those electoral votes, which are the runs, you're not in the game. I don't know how a split ticket gets 270 electoral votes. I just don't know how it works. And if Biden wins the nomination, he'll pick somebody over on the left to bounce about. Probably somebody's African American or Hispanic. Definitely a woman. It'll be either one of the. They're not going to run two moderate white guys, the Democrats. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to do it. And so that will make it a little harder. Trump will call Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, make fun of her. We'll see how the country reacts to all that, you know?
Do you think that there's anything, Chris, you hear, you have inside information, we hear about Russia day in, day out, interfering with the election, the drip, drip, drip of info that comes out about contacts between the campaign and the Russians. Is there something more under the surface? Is this going to amount to something? It already has to some extent, but is there a big prize under there, or is what do you think? What are you hearing?
You know, my gut is that Mueller wouldn't have taken the case if he didn't think it was there. He didn't want to take a case. The guy's Mr. Perfect. He's got a resume. He never has a hair out of place. He walks around carrying that attaché case like he's got gold in it. What has he got? He thinks he's got something.
Mm-hmm.
Or he wouldn't have taken this case. But this thing, you know, I always get this weird feeling, is this going to end up like so many cases in politics where the lieutenants take the fall, whether it's Bridget Kelly with Bridgegate or it's Scooter Libby with the Iraq War and all that stuff. And the top guy skips town.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the little guys like, they're not little guys, but General Flynn, you know, Paul Manafort, some other people, maybe Rick Gates, this guy, I don't know much about him, or Manafort, or Flynn's son, or even Jared Kushner takes the fall. I don't know how you get to Trump unless you got somebody in the room with him where he says, tell the Russians, if they do this, we'll do that.
Right.
And you almost need that. As they do in bribery cases, you need to have somebody in the room that hears a quid pro quo conversation. And usually you need a tape. You need somebody wired. And that's how you bring somebody down. And I don't know if you don't get that. Even if you get that, I'm not sure there's going to be an impeachment because that will take a two-thirds vote in a Republican Senate. Two-thirds vote, 67 votes. I don't see it. But I do say this. If there's anything there, Mueller will get it. And that's important to the country. And that means if he walks away and says, I did my best, that's all there is, I think the country will believe that's all there is because Mueller is going for the kill.
There's
three areas he can go in. He can go into the collusion with the Russians. He can go with obstruction, any evidence that Trump fired Comey because he was afraid of Comey doing the job he was appointed to do, which is to prosecute or dig up the dirt. That could be the other avenue where Mueller's going to go and prove that the firing of Comey was an obstruction of justice. Third area, which is one we've always focused on, has Trump's business dealings been openly, apparently, transparently corrupt? In other words, is there something in his papers, in his tax returns, which I assume everybody around me says Mueller must have by now, then he can tie him into something corrupt beforehand? Because The mandate that Mueller has is very interesting. It doesn't just say Russia. It says any matters that arose in the matter that they're looking at, that they discover, or anything that arises during the investigation. So anything they look at, they can get him on. And that's the thing I think Trump's always been afraid of, is people going after his tax returns and finding some stuff that he shouldn't have done that they can hit him with. And I'm telling you, we've seen this happen with Clinton, where it bounced from Whitewater to Paula Jones to Monica Lewinsky. These things just here, like daisy chains. They just keep bumping to the next thing, and it's all within the mandate.
I took Chris Matthews' book home. It's called Bobby Kennedy. That's why I don't have it here with me, because I took it home because I'm going to read this. Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit. Probably took him years to research and write, I'm assuming. And Bobby believed that there was no conspiracy in his brother's death. I know I heard you say that on television the other day. But they haven't released all of those documents yet.
Yeah, but he said he saw them all. Bobby said once, right at the end in March of 68, before he was shot, that he had seen everything in the archives. And he didn't see anything. But he always had this, in fact, Teddy Kennedy said the same thing before he died, that both of them believed in the Warren Commission. But I think other people, like Ted Sorensen, said Bobby always had this sort of thing in the back of his head that maybe one of his brother's enemies had done it, but the ballistics, the fingerprints, everything, it was Harvey Oswald. The question is whether it's, and he was a communist, the question is, was anybody behind him? I thought it might be the Russians or the Cubans, but we haven't been able to get anything like that. We're never going to drop this story. Everybody's going to have his own theory.
Well, Chris, the book is out now, Bobby Kennedy, A Raging Spirit. Pick it up. Good luck with the book. Thank you for coming on, and I hope to talk to you soon again. Thank you, Chris.
You're a young man.
Thank you. Chris Matthews from MSNBC, a host of Hardball. He does love those Kennedys, man. He's boy. All right. If you are listening to us on a station that only carries the show until 10 a.m., you can continue listening or watching live at roverradio.com or with the Rover Radio app. For everyone else, we'll be right back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory. Keeping their fingers to the streets and their ears on the pulse.
Suge Knight was profiled in his movie.
Who?
Suge Knight.
Suge Knight,
I'm
right.
A big fan of his.
Death Row Interscope Records, he was the founder.
Now back to Rover's Morning Glory, homie.
Well, it's every day there are new accusations that are coming out about someone sexually harassing or molesting or assaulting, and now there's another one. Do you remember the movie Lucas?
Love that movie.
Corey Haim?
Yes.
Corey Haim was in this movie. Charlie Sheen, wasn't he like the stud quarterback or something?
Yeah, older football player.
Yep. Yeah.
And Lucas wanted to play out. I just remember him, they throw him a long pass. And he takes his helmet off to be able to see the ball better, to catch it.
Uh-huh. It's so
if
great.
I'm right, and he catches the ball. Does he get nailed, or does he drop it?
I think he gets nailed, but I think he drops it.
I remember taking his helmet off. It's so stupid. But he was a young kid in that.
Charlie Sheen was?
He was 13 years old on the set. And there's now a new allegation that says that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim while they were filming Lucas.
Corey Haim's dead, correct?
Yes, yeah, that's
dead.
Right. Corey Haim, what was it, an overdose, I'm sure.
It said pneumonia, but...
Yeah, okay. Sure. There's so many guys in their 30s and 40s die of pneumonia. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Who's making this accusation?
This is a former actor, his name is Dominic Brascia, who claims that Corey Haim told him what happened between... Charlie Sheen and him. He went on the record to talk about what had happened. This is even back in 2010, prior to Haim's death. He was telling this story to people. He told the National Enquirer, Haim told me he had sex with Sheen when they filmed Lucas. He told me they smoked pot and had sex. He said they had anal sex. Haim said after it happened, Sheen became very cold and rejected him. When Corey wanted to fool around again, Charlie was not interested. So that's different. That's a different story than I was raped by, right? I mean, that just seems like
statutory rape.
Smoking weed and getting drunk and having butt sex.
Statutory rape.
How old was Charlie Sheen at the time?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
I think it was like 19 or something.
He was 19. Maybe. How old was Corey Haim?
To being a pedophile.
Haim was 13, right?
Wow.
And I think Sheen told him, oh, everybody does this in Hollywood. The older men sleep with the younger boys. So come on, come back here, drop your pants.
But really?
Yeah. That's one of the quotes he says.
This isn't what Corey Feldman alleges, that there are pedophiles in the industry or people. Because, you know, Corey Feldman has his own... The two Coreys.
Yeah, the other Corey, right.
Right. So do you think this was one of the names that he was hesitant to release?
Mm, yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm. If you go back and look at Feldman in the past, they ask him, hey, what do you think of Charlie Sheen? And he's like, no, I don't like the guy. I don't like him. I don't like how he treats people.
Really?
He was almost hinting at that he already knew the story.
Charlie Sheen would have been Probably about 19 or so when this happened. So a 19-year-old and a 13-year-old. Yeah, that would be wrong. It would be statutory rape. It wouldn't be. I mean, judging by the story, it seemed like they were consenting, though. I mean, you
know, it said Corey wanted to fool around again.
Yeah. So I guess when you say, Dieter, that it was Charlie Sheen pressuring him into it, but if Corey Haim was the one that wanted to do it again, and Sheen was like, no.
I don't know about that part.
Winning.
That's what the quote says.
I was talking to Corey or Bordop about
the third Corey. Yeah.
Was he
molested by Charlie Sheen?
You want to hear a story?
Duh.
Let me hear it.
So Slash was getting his star on the Walk of Fame.
From Guns N' Roses.
Yeah,
Slash,
years ago in Hollywood. So they sent Corey, our Bordop, to cover it.
Oh, really?
For our radio station. So Corey goes out there, and I guess...
How did they have a budget? Like,
well, this was when they used to spend money.
This is 7 years ago.
Back when radio stations would have bumper stickers and T-shirts to give away and that kind of stuff.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, it was only 5-6 years ago, I think, you told me. So Charlie Sheen, I think, was the MC for the Walk of Fame introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Arbordop walks up to Charlie Sheen. Hey, man, Charlie Sheen, I love you. Charlie Sheen puts his one hand on Corey's shoulder, and the other hand, he goes underneath and grabs Corey's balls.
Oh, really?
Grabs his undercarriage and goes, you're a warrior. You're a warrior. And just grabs Corey's nuts. And Corey's like, oh, my God, I just met this guy. He was fondled by Charlie Sheen.
Really?
Yeah. He just told me this story. I go, oh, I got to tell this on the air.
I want to hear it from Corey. Can Corey come down here and tell me this story?
He said it was during the whole Tiger Blood phase when Charlie Sheen was losing his mind.
Have him come down here real quick. Let me hear this. Maybe Charlie Sheen just has a fetish for people named Corey.
Yeah, think about Corey Haim, Corey Bordop. Huh, I couldn't believe it. I go, oh, are you serious?
That's crazy.
Encounter with a guy, and he's. I go, were you in front of people at the ceremony? Were you guys like behind a bar or what? He goes, no, we were right on the street in Hollywood. A bunch of people around to grab my nuts.
So I don't think that would be like a sexual, I mean, I don't know.
What are you talking about? What do you think it is?
You want that to happen to you?
No. Yeah. I'm saying, but I don't think it was like he was trying to make a move on Corey, the board op, was it?
You still feeling his junk? You don't feel a guy's junk and go, you're a warrior, dude.
I'm a warrior.
Tell me Corey, our board op, has just come in to sit down, and I was just walking behind Corey the other day. Don't take this the wrong way, Corey, but he was going to the bathroom. I was walking down the hall, so he's like 50 feet in front of me, and I was going to the bathroom too, and I just watched Corey as he walked, and I'm like, that's an odd guy. You're an odd guy. Like, I was thinking, how old is Corey? He's like living the rock and roll dream. He's working at a rock station. He's met Motley Crue. Like, it's just, all of his dreams have come true.
Yeah, dude.
And how Charlie Sheen grabbed his nuts.
And Charlie Sheen grabbed my nuts. That's the high point of my career. I actually turned 40 in like 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, happy birthday.
Thank
early.
You.
All right. So you go down there to, first of all, how do you get the radio station to send you out to cover someone getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Well, there are certain things we say to people like, oh, yeah, work's totally sending me.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I came out of pocket for that.
You paid for that yourself?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Wow. All right.
I didn't know that.
Well, is it so that you could get on the location?
Yeah,
you paid and you were like, okay. I just want to go there and be a part of this. So
yeah.
You like weaseled your way in saying you were covering it for
No, but I actually did. Uh-huh. I actually did, though. I used it for like my blog for the national stuff and got my photos. I mean, this is the stuff I could have only dreamed of when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So. Hell yeah.
All right. So Charlie Sheen is the MC of this.
Yeah.
And this is in the middle of the Tiger Blood phase?
It might have been a little after. So what was that? 2011 was when he like completely freaked out.
Okay.
But this was like 2012. So, I mean, nothing had come out about his HIV or any of those allegations or anything like that. But yeah, it was all still pretty cool and fresh that I'm like winning all over the place and.
Do you think
winning.
Now that we heard this about Corey Haim and he's HIV positive, do you think that Sheen was, how did he say he got it? From sleeping with chicks or from IV drugs?
Did he ever say?
Is he HIV? Corey Haim is?
No, Corey Haim's dead.
Charlie Sheen. Oh. You know that, right?
It casts a new light
Hold
for
on,
sure.
Just,
Charlie Sheen is not dead.
No.
No.
Charlie Sheen has HIV.
Yes.
Corey Haim is dead. Corey Feldman is the one. Yeah. He does not have AIDS.
I don't know. What is she talking about?
I don't know.
About?
We're confused. Charlie Sheen, I think, said he got through sex. I thought, with a woman.
Do you think now, though, after this story, is it more possible that he's having sex with men, too?
Oh, yeah. It came out, Rover. He was having threesomes with men and women, with transgenders. All these, like, there's a video of him sleeping with a transgender person.
There is.
Yeah.
Winning.
Where is that? Crack. It never came out. He squashed
it. So you can't say that there is a video. You can say allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay. Let me make that clear.
Allegedly, there's a video that is out there. But you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. No one is. All right. So anyway, so he's the MC of this thing, which involves what? Just having a microphone and saying, hey, congratulations to Slash?
Yeah, he was up at the podium. He gave this whole speech about Slash and made a joke about, you know, Slash getting a star on the same streets that Axl Rose will wind up sleeping on and all that. It was really pretty freaking rad. And he was walking one way and I was walking out the other. And, you know, I was very pretty at that time. Of course, I had like my nail polish and my eyeliner and all that crap on back in the day. And I don't know if he was hitting on me or what, dude, but he's just like, you're a warrior. And like, just grab my bag, dude.
So
from behind or from up front?
Can you,
Nads?
Nads, come on in here. Nads, come in here. Let's see here. Now, Nads, you play Corey the board op, okay? And
you think you can handle the role?
Corey, you put that microphone on there, Nads. All right, Corey, you're playing Charlie Sheen. All right, so are you guys facing the right way? Are you walking, or how does this all work?
You being me is walking this way, and I'm walking this way with my straw fedora on and like all tiger blood and whatnot.
Okay, all right.
And you're all like, hey, what's up, man, or whatever I would do.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, you're a warrior.
No. That was just a. You got to actually grab it, Corey. You got to grab his junk.
This is method acting.
Like,
man.
how much of a handful did he take?
Yeah, was it just a little bit or the whole thing?
I don't know if I feel comfortable doing that.
Hold on, Charlie Sheen grabbing Corey's bag. Take two and action.
Charlie Sheen, I'm a huge fan, man. Good to see you.
Hey, are you a married man?
Yes.
Come on, bail me out here. It's just like, you're a warrior.
Still, that was half grab. I want to see.
He went around. I'm not grabbing this dude's nuts.
He went around.
So he grabbed it was a full handful.
Yeah. Did he squeeze or just grab?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't like the twisting that you're talking about. It was a substantial touch. I mean, it wasn't like he was fondling. I mean, it was a quick.
Did you have jeans on?
That's an abnormal thing for a guy to do to another guy.
Yes, have you ever met a fan of the show and go, hey, thanks for listening, grab the nut bag?
No, thank God.
So what do you say immediately when he's grabbing your nuts?
What can you say? I was taken aback. I was just, you know.
Charlie Sheen, I love you.
Yeah. What's your phone number?
Duh. So did you say anything?
Well, when I got back to my friends or whatever.
No, but to him or at the time, did you?
No, as far as I knew, the guy was out of his mind. Maybe that's his standard greeting. I mean, what do you say to a guy that just comes up and grabs your nuts?
Hey, dick.
Don't do that.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I used to be a fan of yours. Not anymore. Grab my fun bag.
You got no shaft in there? Just the boys?
I mean, I wasn't sitting there like, oh, my God, he's grabbing the rod or anything like that. Oh. But, I mean, when a man puts his hand near your region, dude, it's off-putting, you know? It's just kind of like, did that actually happen sort of a thing? I mean, it was, I think now I'm kind of bummed out about the whole thing, but at the time I just figured, well, Hollywood's a weird place.
So he grabs your nuts and says, you're a warrior.
Yeah. I don't even know what he meant by that.
And then you're a warrior. He wants to take your spear. Was there any discussion after that, or did you walked away? He walked away. Who walked away first?
He did. I mean, it was just a quick passing. Like, he's like Dieter explained. He put his hand on my shoulder, grabbed my bag, said, "You're a warrior."
Do you think
and kept on walking? And I was like, "Okay, huh?"
In any way, trying to grab
Slash
a different part of your body,
like what? My ass.
Yeah. What else is down there?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or
like,
your hand.
Put his hand around you. I by your hand.
They were facing. It was face to face.
Was your hand down
like
by
in
a
low five? Were you about to do a low five?
And he went to grab your hand. And
I think you'd know a grab from an incidental.
Did he seem
brush?
It wasn't like a brush. No, I mean it seemed pretty deliberate.
Did he seem high or anything?
Honestly, I don't know.
To say you're a warrior afterwards, too. That is, I mean, yeah. That's like a.
Did you feel as if he was hitting on you, or I mean, in hindsight?
No, I don't think he was hitting on me. I mean, I didn't think about it at the time. I just figured this guy's out of his freaking mind anyway, so maybe this is just what he does. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those weird things that happened only in Hollywood, you know, or maybe not only in Hollywood, but it happened to me in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, it happens in the fart packs with these two guys in there, Charlie and Nance.
Bags all day.
Yeah. Are you gonna go? Can't see their hands. There's a reason.
Are you gonna go to the authorities about this?
Am I going to?
You could come out. You were sexually assaulted by Charlie Sheen
on TMZ.
Were there any witnesses?
Well, there were a lot of people. It was at the Hard Rock in Hollywood. I mean, there were witnesses there. I don't think anybody was like, "Gasp! He grabbed his nuts." You know.
But someone must have seen it. There were a lot of people around, right?
Sure. I mean, I would.
Did you tell people immediately what happened when you that night?
Yeah.
Okay, so he has corroborating witnesses that he told that night.
Oh, this can go national. I'm telling you. There's people coming out like nobody is saying Kevin Spacey touched me like a waiter. Nobody knows who these people are, and it makes national news.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows who the hell I am?
Would you like me to bring you forward as a Charlie Sheen victim?
Would I be able to go to Hollywood and talk to the to the police station there? Can I file my report there? Because I'm supposed to be going there in like 2 weeks anyway. I don't know how the hell I'm going to afford
it. They'll fly you out. The police will fly you out.
What are you going to Hollywood for in 2 weeks?
My 40th birthday.
Ah. So what are you going to do? Hit the Sunset Strip?
Funny you should ask. Pretty Boy Floyd is finally putting out their second album. You
Thank
know,
God.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting for this for like 28 years.
I don't even know the first album. I thought
you don't know.
I thought
Leather
you were
Boys
talking about
Boys?
A boxer.
Yeah, here
Mayweather
we go.
Junior.
What is Dude, who doesn't love this?
What is this song?
Leather Boys with Electric Toys, all with Z's.
Of course.
I don't think I've ever heard this. Have you?
Yeah. Wait till it kicks in.
Here we go. Check out this huge, dude.
Was this a hit?
No.
Is it an artist system because only you loaded it in?
No, this actually came from, they blew out all the rest of the Floyd stuff that I put in. This is, this came from what? CC Ads or whatever?
Oh.
I was in this band for like 2 weeks.
You were in the band. How are you in the band?
I've known these guys for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And...
You're the only one.
It's totally like me and five other people with good taste.
Even the guys in the band are like, what was that band we had 30 years ago? What was the title of that? I mean, they don't even care.
Yeah.
All right, so how are you in the band for 2 weeks?
Well, they were looking for, you know.
You have a Pretty Boy Floyd t-shirt on.
I have a
right
Pretty
now.
Boy Floyd tattoo, dude.
Wait, Corey, they've already had a second album.
No, well, this is the second. This is the true follow up to Leather Boys with Electric Toys. They had an album called Size Does Matter, but that was City Girls Boys was the name of a band where the singer just came in and was like, "Oh yeah, this is a Pretty Boy Floyd."
What
album
about Porn Stars? The album?
That's all re-recordings of the stuff to get around. I don't know, some kind of contractual thing.
Okay. Wow, he knows the history of Pretty Boy Floyd. Wow. All right. So anyhow, how are you in the band for 2 weeks?
They were trying to do dates, you know, just fly-in dates around, and mm-hmm. Of course, this is how I learned how to play bass, was like playing along with this record and, you know, Motley Crue records and stuff like that. So somebody said, hey, do you know any bass players in the area that would do this stuff? And one of my buddies is like, I know the guy to do this stuff. So I'm like, this is awesome, you know? So I was jamming and getting ready to do this Pretty Boy Floyd thing, and the shows were canceled.
Oh, come on. You never actually played with them?
No.
It could have been your big
break.
Did you
get to practice with them though and stuff?
No. Well, the drummer and I, we worked out together. We were ready to go. The guitar player and the singer, we were just going to get together before these two gigs that were booked and I guess jam it out at soundcheck or something. So that was like one of those moments in my life where it was, you know, it was always almost a bridesmaid, not quite the bride, so to speak. But yeah, so they're finally putting out their second record and I'm like, you know what? I already backed out of that Motley Crue thing on New Year's a couple years ago. I'm like, if I am not here for this.
Wasn't it their last show? And there must have been more to the story, but he's like this huge Motley Crue fan. And then their last show, he had tickets, right? And then he's like, it's going to be too expensive to go, so I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
So what'd you do with the tickets?
It's not weird.
I ate them. They're still on my refrigerator.
But It's the flight out.
Sell them, yeah.
No, it's the flight out.
I know, but can't you sell the tickets at least? Or you thought to the last minute you were going
to... No, to the last minute, the day before, I was like, I'm still doing this. Right. And then when it started to become a hassle, that's when I just called it a day, because that's when I had myself, you know, that's when I decided I'm changing my life and I'm not doing all this Hollywood crap anymore. And
now you're going back for your 40th birthday. So what's changed? You're not doing the Hollywood crap anymore, but you're going to Hollywood in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to do it differently than I ever did. I mean, I figure 40's a good time to just cut all that out and... go out there with my wife. She's never been to Hollywood before, you know, and do stuff that doesn't have to do with going to the Rainbow every night or getting all hammered on the Sunset Strip or getting your nuts grabbed by Charlie Sheen, you know.
Real quick, how does it make you feel that Rover almost bought you some memorabilia but didn't buy you
memorabilia? It's the thought that counts.
What was the memorabilia? Explain the story real quick.
It was a jacket worn, a stage-worn jacket from, what, Vince Neil,
Vince Neil, you said.
And I saw it on auction, at an auction.
It was cheap, too, right?
It was
$50?
Yeah. No, I think it was, I think it ended up going for not even $1,000, maybe roughly $1,000, $800 or something. And then the auction was going to end at midnight, and I go, I should bid on this. I'll do it later. It was like 12, 14 hours or a day before, and I go, here it is. I go,
that's it? That's nice.
Yeah, this is
it. Oh, wow.
He'd wear that every day, wouldn't you?
He'd sleep in that, Rover.
I said, I'll get it, and I'll check. I'll see what the price is. It's only $800 now, and I'll see, you know, I'll check in tomorrow, see what the, maybe I'll put a bid if it hasn't gone up. Well, I checked back. It sold for $800. I had forgotten. I just forgot to buy it. So
kind of rude of
it was
him,
the
right?
thought that counts.
It was rude of
Rover. Well, yeah. What do you think?
No, I think that's totally badass that you even remember who I am when you walk out of this place. You know what I mean? And if you're going to be synonymous with something, I guess Motley Crue is the thing to be synonymous with. But that was really cool of you. Thank you.
Well,
thanks for thinking of it. I thought about buying you a guitar one time too.
Oh yeah,
from Slash. But I forgot.
Is anybody thinking about buying me a car? Because I don't have one of those right now, and I don't know where I'm staying in Hollywood yet. But
wow,
I'm just throwing that.
So
what happened to your car? Why don't you have a car?
It just exploded. Something happened.
Maybe you and Nads could go in handsies
carpool?
On a car, right?
All
right. Because he doesn't have a car either.
I like
mine
that.
Got fixed. I'm
good.
Did?
You're good to go now. All right. Well, Corey is our board op. He's now changed his Twitter profile to #MeToo. Put it right there in the description. He was molested by Charlie. I mean, would you consider it a sexual assault?
I don't think so. I mean, it's the same thing, I guess, as like, you know, football players swat each other in the nuts or, you know, flicking one of your buddies in his ear or something like that. I mean, now if he was like actually working my pole or something like that, yeah, that would I would be not too stoked about
Remember
that.
Terry Crews, the big black actor?
Yeah, he said he was sexually assaulted.
Same
by
thing. He was at a party. A guy walked up, grabbed his nuts.
And he's reporting it to the police.
Oh, yes, right. That was sexual assault.
His wife was with him?
Yeah.
And that she witnessed it, and they were both like, oh, my God.
Well.
It's the same thing.
Should I? Do you think I should consider this?
Now I'm thinking, yeah. Go.
You could maybe go on TMZ Live, you and that Harvey guy, when you go out to Hollywood, you could.
The black guy with the dreads.
Yeah, that black guy.
Surfer dude.
Surfer dude in the back, yeah. Making the one-liners. Yeah,
you could go on TMZ Live, and they could do that with you, ask you all about being molested by Charlie Sheen. All right, put your story out there, Corey, and
now's the time.
Yeah, you should tweet it out and tag Charlie Sheen, and then someone will see that, some reporter or somebody.
Do you think now when you met him, it sounds like there's probably a lot of cameras around. Do you think there's any footage out there from somebody's camera?
Oh, that'd be rad if there was.
There probably was.
TMZ was probably there. Well, probably filming.
I don't think TMZ. Oh, I guess this was only 7 years ago. All right.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they kept the footage, but do you think? At the time,
sure.
I mean, there's tons of people around, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was like the public was outside of the Hard Rock, and underneath the awning was where the barricade was. So, like in the lobby of the Hard Rock, that's where people were coming in and out. And it happened like just inside the door because I was going out to get a shot because I saw the original drummer of Guns N' Roses like standing with the crowd, like on the other side of the barricade. So that kind of gave me a little rock boner. I'm like, look at me, I'm in the barricade.
Even better than he is, yeah,
okay. Yeah, but. I mean, I would just like to see it to prove that I don't have a whole lot to show for my life. Just to prove that I was in these places with these people. I mean, obviously the sun rose so the next day.
What do you think the look on his face is when Charlie Sheen is grabbing his sack?
Pure joy.
All right. Well, Corey, cool. I'll let you run back down there. Thank you. Corey, our board hop. Now he has to run and he has to go hit our commercials.
Thank you, Corey. Watch your step.
Yeah, the jacket went for $1,100, Rover.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to buy that for him, but he would have liked that, right?
Oh, he would have loved it. Are you kidding?
We should pitch in money.
Did anyone find it somewhat ironic that in the video that, and by the way, someone sent me an email talking about what an a-hole I am for that video of Tomas Sharon having a meltdown in the store, and he's like, no one would have seen that if it weren't for you. It was posted on Facebook, you douchebag. It was posted on Facebook that night before I even heard about it. But regardless, does anyone find it ironic that Tomas Sharon, Jeffrey's son, was having a meltdown about not being able to get a ceiling fan in the store while he's wearing the leather jacket Sons of Fanarchy that we gave him? Is that weird to anyone?
No.
Thought about the same thing.
He lives in that jacket.
He has that jacket on.
He also wears that jacket all the time. When we were tuxedo shopping, he was wearing it.
He loves that jacket, yeah, he loves doesn't it. We're going to have to buy him another one because he's probably going to outgrow that jacket.
Sure, yeah.
I think we got it for him last year, right?
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
I mean, he's getting big. Isn't he growing?
Oh, he's bigger than Jeffrey.
Is he?
Or height-wise, equal.
John in Rochester, you're on Rover's Morning Glory. Good morning, John.
Hey, I wanted to comment about the whole Charlie Sheen grabbing Corey's sack thing.
Yes.
You know how Corey said that he was in makeup and had his nails polished and whatever? I'm sure he had long hair back then, too. Maybe Charlie was just out of his mind and he thought, I'm going to find out if this guy or whoever is a guy or a girl. Just wanted to cop a feel a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And check it out.
See what he had.
See what he's working with. Maybe.
Right. Doesn't make it right.
Sure. No. I mean, I don't... Corey doesn't seem like he's too upset by it, though.
It's also, 6 years later?
All right, I do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming up on The Aftermath on RMG Plus. If you don't subscribe to RMG Plus, you should sign up right now. I'll tell you another reason to sign up. We'll have something special for you, available to you. You don't have to get it or not get it, whatever. But we'll have something special for RMG Plus Limited, not for every RMG Plus person, but a limited availability on something for RMG Plus subscribers in the next few weeks. And it's pretty cool. I think you'll like it, I hope. So there's one more reason to subscribe to RMG Plus, but if you want to watch or listen to The Aftermath live as they do the show, sign up now at roverradio.com. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's coming up in The Aftermath. Also, I have stuff to give away. What do I have to? Oh, the Christmas thing?
Yep,
okay,
Christmas
I have
connection.
That to give away.
Yep.
I do want to tell you that tomorrow night, not everyone, but three people from the show, Dieter, Charlie, and Jeffrey, are going to be out. And they are giving away in person tomorrow night tickets to Holy Moses Matrimony. Just a few pair of tickets to give away tomorrow. Compliments of Coors Light, courtesy of Coors Light, I guess I should say. They're giving away some of their tickets. So it is, this has got to be your final opportunity to get it, right?
Done deal.
So we gave away some on the air, a few pair of tickets. And then these are the last tickets being given away. And then when we come back, I'll tell you where and when they're going to be. But it's tomorrow night, so I'll give you the whole rundown on that. Stop by. You can win not only Holy Moses Matrimony tickets, but other stuff as well.
Yes, a bunch of great concerts. House of Blues gave us a bunch of tickets. We have RMG hoodies, lots of good stuff at each location.
All right, I'll tell you all about that when we come back. Hang on.
Rover's Morning Glory.
We have the kindest listeners in the industry.
You're such a loser, and you're a bad father, and you're a horrible person.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know what? Say, I don't know. Look at yourself in the mirror, sweetheart.
Oh, my God.
This is Rover's Morning Glory.
Sent a text message. She says, don't worry if Tomas Sharon outgrows his Sons of Fanarchy leather jacket that we gave him a year ago.
Why is that?
Because he says, Buddy the Bitch Boy will just sell it online for some extra cash.
Oh.
Holy Moses Matrimony is a week from Saturday. Now, the event sold out immediately.
Holy Moses!
We gave out a few tickets on air, quite a few, I suppose, on air. But if you want one last shot at going to Holy Moses Matrimony, and what is going to happen, no one has any idea. We could be shocked and surprised at what happens at Holy Moses Matrimony. At House of Blues, it is... First, a bachelor party for Jeffrey, since he never had one. He's most excited about that. Then he's going to renew his vows to marry Elizabeth. They've been married 18 years with their two beautiful children. And you can witness the entire thing. Pop Evil playing the show. Dom, our old phone screener, on the ones and twos. So the last places for you to get tickets. It's all happening tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. in three different locations, all simultaneously. Dieter will be at Garage Bar in Willoughby. Charlie will be at Ace's Grill in North Ridgeville. And Jeffrey will be at Barley House in Akron. Each of those locations will have tickets to Holy Moses Matrimony. So go there, try to win those. They'll have other stuff to give away as well. It's all compliments of Coors Light, the big sponsor for Holy Moses Matrimony. Can you talk to Coors Light? They should stock a bunch of stuff on Rolling Glory One, right? I mean, we need...
Please, we'll drink it every night.
Yeah.
Got a fridge.
Do that.
We're always drinking stuff when we're on the road driving, watching TV, watching a game. We need drinks.
We can do that.
Also, thanks to Safe and Reliable Limousine, Big Al, the owner, is... making sure Mary Elizabeth and the kids get over to this in one of their limos, safeandreliablelimos.com, and American Commodore Tuxedos, providing tuxedos for some of the show members. A lot of people have asked, what should I wear to Holy Moses Matrimony? What's the consensus? What do you guys think?
Well, I've been talking with, I did a walkthrough yesterday, and it's going to be a lot of people, first of all. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be hot and a lot of running around. So I'm trying to figure out what to wear at the wedding part. It's going to be a definite transition from everyone hanging out for the bachelor party into the wedding. But we are going to get changed. I'm talking to Charlie's girlfriend, sending her pictures. What do I wear? I have not found a dress.
She said she would take you shopping.
She won't do that. I can tell you right now.
She said it for years, actually.
But I have she a won't kid. I have a kid. I can't. So
what?
We're all for the wedding.
Wait a second. Just having a kid makes it impossible to go to the mall?
It's just difficult to focus on what to wear. Like, I tried on one dress yesterday.
Just admit you don't want to do it.
So everyone's thinking, from what I hear, a lot of people want to dress up, but you can wear whatever you want if you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
ACTux.com is American Commodore Tuxedo's website address.
So the owner of those cupcakes, Lauren's a listener, huge fan. She owns the White Flower Cake Shop. And since you've devoured all of those cupcakes.
Gotta get these out of here.
How many did you eat?
Two
Robert?
Today.
Oh, my. You could do the challenge.
Accidentally.
For no reason.
It's not a challenge for him.
Oh, I could.
You could eat the rest of those.
Eat the rest of those. There's no question.
So you have a stomach ache right now just eating two on an empty stomach.
Well, No.
Well, who would?
Yeah, why would you have a stomachache from eating a cupcake?
It's just pure frosting and sugar.
It's great.
I always eat a stomachache. I don't know.
You never eat sugar. That's why.
No, I do.
When? Once
so why would you
a
get
week?
If you eat sugar, why would you get a stomachache from cupcakes? I know.
Because an empty stomach. I don't know. Like,
but you
sugar
just had
fruit.
You just had your lunch, you said, remember?
Yeah, no, but I'm asking you. Yours is an empty stomach. I'm surprised you're not upset. To me, like, say I just have a pop on an empty stomach. I'm like, oh.
That makes you sick?
Oh, yeah. I got to sit on the toilet for half hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no.
So,
Robert, you're on the toilet if you drink a soda, a pop.
Yeah, because I never have pop. I'm not a fan. I don't know. Ever since I was a kid, I just can't handle it. I get a stomach ache.
Has anyone heard of this before?
No.
Never. No, the only person that says they have something that immediately gives them diarrhea is Jeffrey. Like, Jeffrey will say random things, like a Reuben will just go right through him, and he's pooping within 5 seconds. I don't even think it's physically possible that a pop could make you poop.
It just is. I mean, I love, don't think, oh, I eat perfect. Like, I love potato chips. I love...
It's not sugar.
No, there's sugar in it, in chips. It's not the same kind, but there's carbs.
You're going to have 12 new cupcakes tomorrow.
Yes.
They're going to have them.
Oh, good.
They're getting a variety of cupcakes today. They said easy peasy. They'll get you all set.
Any flavor requests, Eater?
We just did a mix.
Oh, you just did a mix? Oh, okay, cool.
She's going to give us a mix.
Why not do 24, and I do it for the challenge, and then Rover does it for fun?
I like that idea.
He will.
That's awesome.
I told Dish, I go, you got to get these out of here because... I have been, I told you I gained like 8 pounds back, so I've been losing it again.
Yeah.
And so I just weighed myself this morning. I was 174, and I'm like, I'm trying to get back down to 170, but I ate 2 cupcakes today. Like,
so what? You gotta get lose these. It.
No, don't so what? It's just,
Dieter, do you think you'll gain weight tomorrow? Like actual...
Oh, yeah, 12 cupcakes.
He burns a lot of calories, though. I mean, he burns a tremendous amount of calories in a day working out.
I'll go straight to the... Well, I'm going to take a nap after I throw up and take a dump. I already planned this out. Then I'm going to nap for a couple hours, comatose, and then I'm going to hit the gym all night, all Friday. Oh, no, I got the
parents. We have stuff to do.
Damn it.
So it's the greatest day to do this ever.
Well, meet me in the bathroom. If you want an autograph, I'll be in the stall from 7 to 9 at Garage Bar.
Real quick.
I could just eat the frosting right off the top. Forget the cake. Just the frosting right off of these.
Mary Elizabeth has 2 more fittings. So the dress, we've already had 2.
My God, how many fittings does it take?
This is a real deal. Dress. Like, they're not messing around. This is a gorgeous wedding dress. So LaBlanca Bridal Boutique, thank you to them. Huge thank you to them. David Jewelers are finalizing the rings. They're going to bring the rings to us. Wait till you see the rings that they're going to get. So thanks to them. Indoor Gardens is helping us with the autograph card because we're going to do a signing for fans the start of the show. So a lot of people are at Christie's, of course. Jeffrey's going to be DJing after the wedding. He's going to go and spin on the ones and twos.
Is he going to make love in between?
I don't know. We have to figure that out. I got to put that in the timeline. So a lot of people are helping this big event come together. So thanks to everybody.
Yes. And we hope to see you there next Saturday. But tomorrow night, try and get those tickets. Again, Dieter at Garage Bar in Willoughby. Charlie, Ace's Grill in North Ridgeville. Jeffrey, Barley House in Akron.
What time, Rover?
From Coors Light. 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Jeffrey, I heard, is going to walk to work.
No, he's not.
It's the big event. He's been talking about it for years, that he's always threatening to walk to work. And tomorrow is going to finally be the day.
Wait, here? Walk here?
Yes.
No.
It's
from his house.
No way.
He's not going to do it.
Freezing tomorrow.
No, he waits until November, and it's supposed to be the first day it snows.
He already planned it out. He told me at midnight he's leaving his house.
Get out of here.
He's not going to do that.
Yes, he is.
No, he won't.
Don't let him do
it. Don't interfere, Dougie. It's the first annual Jeffrey Allen LaRoque
Walk-a-thon.
Pre-diabetes, pre-memorial walk to work. It's 11.6 miles. If you also want to walk to work tomorrow with Jeffrey, just do it to your own work.
It's impossible.
We've already made the bumper stickers.
Caller 30, IX Center, Christmas condition.
Is he in 100%? I don't want him backing out.
He said yesterday, I promise I'm going to walk to work. And I said, if anything happens, just call me. I said, just call me. I'll come pick you up if you can't make it for whatever reason. But tomorrow night.
Tonight,
midnight, he's leaving his house because he said it's going to take 4 hours to.
He's not going to do that. There's no way he's going to walk to work.
He
do you think
it
he's going to do
Robert,
it?
I hope he does.
He's not going to do it. Tomorrow he's going to show up. I'm going to see his little car backed into the spot always does. And he's going to say, yeah, he's going to have a reason. He's not walking to work. Wait. It's how many miles is it?
Put the thing back 11. Up. These are the bumper 6? Stickers again that we've made.
Wait, it's the only way to take it is the freeway?
No. He's already mapped it out. Okay. He already told me the route he's going to take, and it works out. Again, the Jeffrey Allen LaRoque pre-diabetes, pre-memorial walk to work, 11.6 miles. It's like a half a marathon he's going to walk tomorrow before work.
He's
leaving at midnight. It takes 4 hours.
Not
going
to happen.
He said that if he leaves at midnight and it takes 4 hours, he should get here by 6. He did the math. just so you know.
There's no
you can
way.
Think about that.
Takes 4 hours. I'll leave at midnight because I got to be there by 6.
Exactly.
Okay. Gotcha.
I heard it might snow tomorrow, but...
Yes.
Whatever.
He's a snowmobile.
He's prepared. He said he's going to bring snacks
on
the way.
He's going to wear a long sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, Jeffrey, if you're listening, make sure you dress for this weather, man. And we're all looking forward to it. We're all really looking forward to it.
Some comfortable bullet boots to wear on that long walk.
And pulling for you.
All right. And as Doogie said, caller 30 right now, 866-YO-ROVER, 866-967-6837. I'll give you a pair of tickets to join Doogie and Gia at Breakfast with Santa at the IX Christmas Connection at the IX Center on Sunday the 19th. Get tickets at IXChristmasConnection.com. Good luck to you, 866-YO-ROVER. We will be back live tomorrow morning. Have a great day. It's Rover's Morning Glory.
Bye.
Bye.
Rover's Morning Glory.